Just finished dinner. I'm stuffed.
You need a nap afterwards.
I might. I might. That's why I've got my coffee ready.
Yeah, me too. On the opposite, my kids woke us up at about 7 o'clock this morning, and I'm already on my third cup of coffee.
Oh, jeez. Yep, I know the feeling, man. I know the feeling.
Oh, man.
I started doing a new thing with my coffee, though. I'm putting elderberry syrup? Juice?
Ooh.
I don't know, something. My wife went to a farmer's market, and you know, everyone's freaked out. Well, my wife is freaked out about this whole corona thing, and so she's looking for like stuff to boost your immune system. And apparently, elderberry juice is very good for like fighting colds. And so she bought a bottle of it. Apparently, it was super expensive. It was like $20 for like tiny bottle.
Ooh.
But I've been putting it in my coffee for like 2 weeks. It's delicious.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I'm a purist. I'm just black coffee.
Just black, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it's good. It gives it a little sweetness. And I don't use sugar in my coffee. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have like something a little.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's good. What's up? I haven't talked to you in like a year. Well, I mean, that's not true.
Yeah, I know.
We chit chat every once in a while on Twitter, but.
Yeah, not on Skype. Yeah, but I'm going all right. I'm working. I started a new job probably just under a year ago, just working in like private patient transport.
Mm.
And that's been absolutely nuts lately because we're doing so many suspected corona cases. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so you know, it's one of those things where, like, I see people, just mostly in Australia, going, oh, it can't be that bad, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we're doing, like, 30 suspected cases transporting a day.
No kidding.
Yeah, like, it doesn't mean that they're, most of them come back negative, but, you know, I think it's, like, three or four of them come back positive every day. Like, it's just crazy.
Hmm. That's crazy. I don't know what's going on here. People where I live don't believe in coronavirus.
Yep.
I live in what we call a red state, so everyone believes Trump's lies.
There you go.
and he thinks it's all fake news, so I don't know. Everyone's fine here.
Oh, God, it's crazy. It's
my neighbors have parties like every night. There's like 30 people over there.
Oh. you can go 6 months without parties, guys. Like, it's just... I mean, it's fine by me. I like being at home by myself anyway, so it's fine.
Well, dude, that's the thing. Like, none of us here care. Like, in my house, because like my wife and kids, like if they never had to go outside in their lives, they would be perfectly happy. You know what I mean? So like for them, there's no difference except they're like washing their hands every 5 minutes, and they're not even going out. You know, like school's canceled, so they just do school online. And and my wife's working from home. And I'm the one out in public because I still have to go to work.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't freak out about it, but they're like totally freaked out, man.
I've just resigned myself to the fact that, you know, working where I work, I just go, you know what? I'm probably going to get it. Like, I think probably most of us are going to get it eventually.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, so that way if I don't get it, well, good. That's a bonus.
Yeah. So here's the way I look at it. Like, if I'm going to get something, I'm going to get it whether, like, I'm being super protected or not. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And like, this is true with like just a simple like cold or a flu, right? Like if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. You know what I mean? You do the best you can and you know, you deal with it when it happens.
Exactly.
So that's my outlook on things. My wife and the, like, they're germaphobes. I'm not.
Yeah. Not me either.
I'm not. My parents always made sure that like I played in the dirt because my parents believed that like if you eat dirt, you won't get sick. You know what I mean? So like they're like, yeah, just go roll around in the dirt for a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's worked out. Like I haven't been a sick day in my life. You know, I'll catch a cold like every other year.
And actually, that's inevitable. Everyone gets colds.
Yeah, exactly. And my allergies are like really bad this year, though. I will say that.
But, I've noticed that too. I get hay fever, and I'm like today even I'm just sniffing a bit, and you know it's just crazy.
Yeah, global warming or AIDS.
Oh,
we'll go with
it.
I guess I'm already recording, so maybe I should tell everyone who you are. Andrew Shaw.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's cool. I know my regular co-host is excited. He sent a quiz, so we're going to take a quiz at the end.
Excellent.
That's vaguely tangentially related to the topic. He loves doing quizzes, so we'll have a stump a nerd quiz at the end, I guess, about aliens. I don't even know what it was. Like I said something on Twitter the other day, and you're like, "Dude, we should talk aliens," and I was like, "Hell yeah!" Because nobody wants to talk aliens with me, man. What's up?
Oh, I'm always happy to talk aliens. It's one of my favorite subjects. From when I was a very small child, I always loved. I was the kid who would, being back in primary school, would go and sit in go through the Dewey Decimal System in the library and go and sit in that section where it's UFOs and ghosts and monsters. And I reckon I read every book in that school library because it was a very small school. I reckon I read every UFO and monster book maybe three times each.
Dude, I have a similar experience. I've, like, my entire life, and I still kind of do this. Like, if I work late, when I get home, I'll pull in my driveway and I'll get out of my truck and I'll just, like, stare up for, like, 2 minutes before I go in the house.
Yep.
Just like, maybe I'll see an alien tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and actually, I told Nick a story because I'm pretty sure I saw some UFOs probably a couple months ago for the first time in my life. And I was fucking thrilled, dude.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that story later. Yeah, I love it, man. It's one of my favorite things. I love anything that's like out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Because to me, just like ordinary life sucks. So like, exactly. I'm like, dude, there's got to be like something, like it's got to be better than this. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's escapism too, especially with the way the world is at the moment. You know, I was talking to my wife about it last night, and I said, you know, I've been watching really bad horror and reading comics. Yes. And it's to escape because it's so much. You know, a lot of those. You know, we both read lots of comics, and there's so much hope in those comics. Whereas sometimes in the real world, you just sort of go, I think you know, the planet's on its way out some days.
Uh huh. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if you and your wife had this conversation, but, you know, I'm fascinated with my favorite, like, movie genre is zombie movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter, like, how good or bad the movie is. Like, if it's got zombies, I have to watch it.
Yeah.
And the worst it is, the better for me. You know what I mean? I just love, like, the cheesiest freaking zombie movies. But my wife and I had this conversation, and actually it came up today because we were chatting on Discord, and Ronnie posted this meme. But my wife, like, legit, we had the legit conversation of, would we want Walking Dead zombies or 28 Days Later zombies?
Ooh.
So I'm curious. Have you ever thought about this question?
Yeah, it's one of those ones. Like, we live in a big, our house is built out of bluestone. So it's a big, you know, it looks like almost like a castle, but it's got a, you know, proper roof and everything. But it's, so I think we could, and we're up on the top of a hill. So I reckon we could defend against the Walking Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead zombies because they're slow and there's a bit more, you know, we've got windows so we can see where they're coming from. Whereas if it was the 28 Days Later ones jumping through windows and running after us, I think we'd be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're in agreement, dude. I think we're in agreement. Although, like, I wonder, would it be scarier to have slow zombies or fast-moving zombies? You know what I mean? Like, if you have, like, a really quick outbreak of zombies, wouldn't it be scarier if there was slow zombies? Because how the hell are they infecting everybody?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, it's usually, when you see it in those movies, it's usually the overwhelming numbers. Like, you know, we get to, like, I love the Romero ones. My favorite zombie movie is Return of the Living Dead.
Because
that one is just, it's just fun. It's so much fun. But the Romero ones, which have the slow ones, that you watch it and people get attacked by overwhelming numbers. It's always, you know, 20 or 30 zombies on top of them, whereas they're not the 28 Days Later, which has the scene that always gets me is when the bird's pecking at that body and the blood drips down, lands in the guy's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, every time.
Yeah, and he freaks out immediately. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that kills me. funny story about that movie. Many, many years ago, when I was a single man, I went and on my birthday, I thought, I'm going to go to the movies by myself. And I went and saw 28 Days Later. By myself in a cinema, and I was the only one in the cinema.
What?
So it sort of, it even gave it that, you know, this is the end of the world sort of feeling because there's no one else here.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
So it kind of enhanced the creepiness of the movie, so it was really good.
See, I had the opposite reaction because when I went to see it in theaters, it was packed.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, if one of these mother effers turns into a zombie, we're all screwed.
Well, it's always the way, isn't it? And it's funny, talking like, talking to my wife about like coronavirus and stuff like that, and there's the, you see the people who are, you know, oh no, I'll be fine, and I said to her, they're the people who get bitten and hide it.
Uh-huh, yep.
They're the one, you know, they come in and they've got a bite on their arm from being attacked by something, and then they're the ones who hide it until it's too late and right at the end, and then they attack somebody and they're the cause of the, you know, your camp's all sealed and they're the cause of the outbreak in the camp.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. Some of those people, they deserve it. Let me tell you, I've been in public a lot. Some people just deserve it. It's crazy, man. Like, people, I don't know. It's like... I don't want to reiterate because Nick and I talked a little bit about this last episode, but it's like some people just want the normalcy so bad that like they do the same thing they've been doing, but it just seems so like trite and annoying now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
It's like, don't you know there's like some crazy shit going on? People are dying, and you just like you want your Starbucks? Like, come on, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, but they need to. I mean, the only thing I was annoyed about was that I just started playing basketball again, and our basketball league got cancelled.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, I get it, but I was kind of annoyed because I love playing, but I'm not one of those people going, oh, this is ridiculous. It's just like, yeah, okay, if it has to happen, you know, the quicker we control this thing, the better. So.
Yeah. See, we had that chat with some of the dads in the soccer league. So my youngest daughter plays soccer. What do you guys call it, footy over there? What do you call it in Australia?
We have Australian rules footy, which is, we call that footy. We call it soccer here. I mean, we have people who do call it football, but it's like, you know, we have, if you've never seen Australian rules football, it is an insane game.
It is the greatest sport of all time.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite sport. ESPN3 has it here. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's the best.
And it's brutal, too, sometimes.
It is brutal. Like, you think the rugby guys are tough? Nope.
Nope.
These guys are crazy. So they were still having games, and then all the professional sports started getting canceled. And, I remember the last game we had, he probably jinxed it. The last game we had, he's like, well, we can't have professional sports. At least we have like girls like YMCA soccer. You know what I mean? And then like the next day they announced that like that's canceled now. So, yeah, I blame it on that guy.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's always one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know what I think this is? I think let's dive into the conspiracy.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
I think coronavirus is preparing us for the alien.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Ooh, so you think it could be a programmer of where they want to breed the toughest and strongest, so they're weeding everybody out.
No. Not even like that's pretty devious.
You don't think that?
No, that's Ooh. Devious. I'm going very simple. I'm saying they created this virus to keep people inside so that we can't see when the aliens come and invade us.
Ah.
See?
Ah, okay.
Thought about that. And this is how they scheme about. So over the last couple of weeks, there's been like a few either asteroids, and I think there's a comet coming like at the end of May. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be fairly close to Earth, and this was like our conspiracy is my favorite thing ever. I don't know if you ever go on Reddit and check this thing out. When you have some time, go to reddit.com/r/conspiracy.
Okay.
You need to bypass all the coronavirus stuff because they just blame Hillary Clinton and everything. but like, if you find like some good stuff on like aliens on there, which is kind of rare right now, but you'll still find it. This was one of the things that was proposed, because there were like, I think it was like three or four, like super close, like closer than the moon, like asteroid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, and there were like small asteroids, but there's one that is coming. I think it starts like early May, and it peaks like either mid or at the end of May. And it's like the size of Mount Everest. And
Ooh,
and the corona is like five times the size of Jupiter, right? So the asteroid's not that big, right? It's the size of the mountain, which I guess it's pretty big, the size of it.
Still pretty big, yeah.
but the corona, so all the stuff around it, is five times the size of Jupiter, which is fucking huge.
That's huge, yeah. That's really big.
And that's coming pretty close. I don't know if it's like closer than the moon, but it's fairly like it's around that range. We're like, it'll probably be visible with the naked eye.
Ooh.
And so one of the conspiracies that was floating around was this exact thing. Like, coronavirus is fake. They just are, they're getting ready to for everyone to be on lockdown, just to be inside, or when if one of these comets hits or whatever, like, people won't know any better.
Yeah.
And you know, like, the cool thing about conspiracies is, like, there's always, it's like mythology or fables. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you base it on, like, a little grain of truth, and you give it this, like, odd spin that seems, like, extremely plausible.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
what I mean? And especially when, like, when you know that, you know, like, the government or the military or whatever don't tell you the whole truth about things for whatever reason, some nefarious, some not, it gives you this, like, thing in the back of your head where you're like, well, like, what's really going on? And
yeah,
this is as good as answer to anything, right? Because you don't have an exact answer.
Well, it's the thing with, the, you know, we all know that the government have to keep stuff from people. They have to. There's stuff that we wouldn't know about that would cause mass panic, whether it is, you know, that a UFO landed or it's just something very minor or something that happened within a government. They have to keep stuff from us because that's just the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't have mass panic. And then, you know, I mean, I love falling into conspiracy theory rabbit holes all the time. I love it. Some of it gets a bit too extreme, and some of it, it makes me go, look, that's not even plausible, but it's still interesting to listen to. But then you see stuff like, you know, like the Gulf of Tonkin incident,
mm-hmm.
which was the, you know, that got the US into the Vietnam War. It used to be a conspiracy theory, and then it became true.
Right.
You know, it was that they were attacked. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like they were attacked in that area, so we're going into Vietnam. And it turned out that didn't happen, and it was all a big theorist conspiracy to get America into the Vietnam War. So, you know, the problem is with conspiracy theories is that the more extreme they are, that sometimes it's a bit all over the place. But every now and then you see something and you go, you know what? I don't know if I believe it, but it's still possible that that could have happened.
Well, to go with that example, it's the same thing with, like, Iran-Contra, which, like, if you look at the story, like, you couldn't write a better story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you're watching, if you guys have the Tiger King documentary over in Australia.
We watched it all. Yes, we watched it all.
Dude, like, all right, so you watched it all. Like, that seems like some fictional story, right? Like a true crime fictional story. Like,
oh, exactly.
There's no way any of that happened, and yet it's all true.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's insane.
It's totally insane. So why can't any of these other crazy-ass things be true? You know, when you have, like, an example like the Tiger King or of Tonka or Iran-Contra or whatever, like, this kind of shit happens, bro.
Oh, yeah. The true stories are usually better than whatever we could dream up with fiction anyway most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I still think alien invasion. I'd be down.
Awesome.
I don't know. Like, I think you do see a little bit of the panic mindset. I don't know if you guys have any toilet paper in Australia.
In
the US you can only find it in a museum. It is not available anywhere. And
just make sure you pick the right leaves.
Yes. Listen, I told everyone, just use moss. Very soft. Yeah. It's very abundant. Like, you can find it. Just go to the woods. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it.
or get a bidet. But that's like the exact panic thing that you're talking about. Like, in what universe could you possibly need that much toilet paper?
Well, that's the thing. If it was if coronavirus was like a gastroenteritis virus where it makes you evacuate out of both ends of your body, I would get it. You know, you need toilet paper then, or you need a bidet, or you need that sort of stuff. But it's literally a flu-like virus, so you don't need toilet paper. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. But then you have the panic mindset. Do you think if aliens showed up, we would have that panic?
My theory is that my theory with aliens is they're waiting. They look at our world and there's things that happen and they watch us and they keep an eye on everything. And I'm sure, you know, people will think we're nuts for all of this, but they're watching and they're waiting for us to get to a certain point, whether it be a point where we're going to destroy ourselves or whether it be a point where we, like the coronavirus thing, I think a lot of people, you know, after all of this, my hope is that people come together because we've had no human contact for a little while because we're being told to stay indoors and we have to, you know, talk via Skype and things like that. And people will want to get out and see people. And I'm hoping that it changes the world at least a little bit. And maybe they're waiting for us to go either one way or the other, with the point where, you know, the world we're living in, we, you know, governments are about to drop nuclear bombs on each other, and they go, "Whoa, hang on a sec, guys." Or they go the other way, where once we get to a certain point of enlightenment, then they go, "Oh, cool, all right, they've reached the level we need them to be at."
Man, I gotta tell you, you have more faith in humanity than I do.
Well, I lean more towards the destroying the world part, because that's where I think it's going. My hope is the other way. But the more I see of stuff going on in the world, and the more stupidity I see. Like, I worked as an emergency ambulance dispatcher for 11 years, and the stupidity of people never surprises me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would think if they're ever going to visit, it will be for the wrong reasons, where they'll want to turn up and say, "All right, we're taking over now, guys. You've had your chance, and you messed it all up. So we're here."
Okay. Let's dive into this, because obviously we're both deep into aliens. My assumption is you believe aliens are real, correct?
Well, it's arrogant of us to think we're the only intelligent life in the universe.
All right, let me rephrase that. Do you think aliens have visited us?
Yes.
In the near past or in the deep past, or both?
Oh, I think they've been coming forever, and it's only just, you know, I think that you look at the times of, like, say, like the 50s, when we started to have a lot more, the 40s and 50s, we had a lot more UFO sightings, and we had a lot more pop culture based on sci-fi movies and things like that. And I think that the government slowly releases things every now and then just to sort of get you used to the idea, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. You know, you have your movies like your ETs and your Mac and Me and stuff like that, where the aliens are friendly. But then you also have, you know, the War of the Worlds, and you have The Day the Earth Stood Still and things like that. And, you know, it's very much it's like they're trying to get people used to the idea that something exists out there.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast, and I wish I remember which one it is. I'll have to find it. But they just had Eisenhower's granddaughter on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you've heard the conspiracy theory that aliens try to make a deal with Eisenhower.
Yeah.
I think either – it was after World War II, right? Yeah, after World War II.
Yeah.
And I think it was – he was visited twice, right? I think the Greys came, and then the what's the other one? The Nordics.
Was it the Valiant Thor? Was that him?
No. It was not Valiant Thor. Yeah. That's right. He was the guy from Venus.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think he was here for a while, right? Like, he was hanging out for a couple of years.
Yeah, he was with the government for a very long time.
Yeah. It might have been then before Valiant Thor.
Mm-hmm.
There was some species, and I'm pretty sure it was the Greys, that had approached Eisenhower, and the deal was, like, we'll give you all this technology, you just gotta let us, like, experiment on a few people. You know what I mean? Like, you meet this quota, and we'll give you technology.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Eisenhower kind of rejected it, and then that's when Valiant Thor came in, or what the exact series of events was. But so Eisenhower's daughter was on this podcast, and she's been the one talking about this for years. I guess it's been like a family secret, and some reason, like, maybe they can't get her or something. I don't know what it is. But, like, she is all into, like, the UFO stuff because of the experience that her grandfather had. And she loves to tell the story of how, like, he basically said no. And part of the reason – oh, you know what? It was, because I think the Nordics were the one that came first. So they had said, we'll just give you tech and we'll make this world, like, the perfect place. And they're like, no. Mm-hmm. And then the Greys came and they're like, we'll give you all this tech right now, but we need some bodies. And they're like, yeah, we can do that. Like, that's basically how it went.
Yeah,
and I guess part of that explains, like, the rapid evolution of technology since the, you know, 40s and 50s. You know, how much of that is true? I don't know, man. Like, some of it makes sense, but at the same time, like, you know, these kind of things do move in, like, a very steep curve, right? Like, once you start getting an advancement, it's like a logarithmic curve.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could go either way, but I love the idea that, like, we're getting at least some guidance from aliens.
Yeah, it's a great. It just seems like it. Whether it's true or not, it just seems like such a more interesting way of, you know, a better story, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems more fun, and it's I don't know. I think it's, you know, like the UFO thing, UFOs being spotted, I think, you know, 99% of them are just aircraft being tested. Aircraft we haven't seen before. But there's that still that 1% that I think, well, that could be something else. You know, just because we can't prove it yet doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah. I think that kind of shows, like, if you look at the designs of flying saucers from the first pictures in, like, the 40s and 50s till now, you see, like, a definite progression, right? Because back then, they looked like what you would see in a movie. Like, it's a flying saucer shape, but the top of it is, like, this big, honky, like, blocky thing. I don't know if you ever looked into the Nazi bill, for example.
Yes, yeah.
But it looks a little bit like that. And then as time progressed, like, when you started seeing all this stuff in, like, the 80s and 90s, it's, like, these very sleek-looking, like, really thin saucer-shaped craft. Obviously, like, I don't want to say aerodynamics, because it seems like you wouldn't need that, right? If you can fly the ship through space, you don't need it to be aerodynamic. But, like, you find ways to refine the technology. And in that sense, like, it does seem more like a thing that we came up with here on Earth, as opposed to some tech that we got from someplace else. Or at least as we get better at using the technology.
Well, that's the thing. The designs of these experimental aircraft that they have, or that were spotted around that time, a lot of them wouldn't look like that traditional UFO because, you know, as we said, as you're saying, that out in space you don't need aerodynamics. There's no wind.
Right.
But when you get to Earth, it needs to be sleeker and probably more pointed because of the wind resistance. So, you know, that's why the designs change. And I think it would explain, you know, certain other sightings, things like that, where the UFOs have crashed. It would make sense that this is one of their first visits because they don't have that aerodynamics and they're not used to wind resistance and things like that.
Right. Well, and think about it too. Like, the military has all these different type of craft, right? You have, like, destroyers. You have big boats, small boats, big planes, cargo planes, little planes, stealth planes. You have tanks. You have jeeps. You have motorcycles. Like, imagine if you could have just, like, one vehicle that could do all those things. Right, you can fly it out into space. You come back. You're flying through Earth. You can go underwater and do some experimentation there. Like USOs have been like more and more popular last couple of decades too. Right, under unidentified submerged craft.
Yep,
the ones that come out of the water.
Mm.
I mean, if you could find a way to do that, that would be ideal. Right, then you don't need to have like all these different fleets of vehicles. You just have the one.
Yep. I'm sure Elon Musk has got something like this in his, hangar somewhere.
Oh, don't get me started on Musk. I used to love Elon Musk. And now, like, the more I think about Elon Musk, he's like the Lex Luthor of planet Earth.
Yeah. But that was the thing, too. The switch from him, everyone loving him to everyone hating him. I was sitting there going, have none of you people read comics?
Right.
This is how you create a Lex Luthor.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, now he's doing all these satellites, and like at first I thought it was cool, right? Like, yeah, internet for everybody. But now he wants to launch like I don't even know how many it was, like 60,000 satellites, and like all the astronomers are freaking out because that means you can't do like ground based astronomy anymore. It has to be space based because you have like a giant layer of satellites flying around Earth, so you can't see anything outside of the layer of satellites.
Yeah.
And that's creepy, man. It's like you know, the Scientologists have this whole prison planet thing. It's like that, bro. Prison planet.
It's like Brother Eye too, from DC, you know. Mm-hmm. Get Brother Eye up there and start turning people into OMACs.
Oh my god, you just made at least one listener jizz in his pants. I'm telling you. I don't know if you ever interacted with Mike Myers, but
oh yes.
OMAC is his favorite.
Yeah. See, he'd probably welcome it. Yeah, turn me into an OMAC.
But, yeah, man, it's scary, dude. Like, at that point, I would rather just be invaded by aliens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just like, what's that Twilight Zone episode, To Serve Man? Like,
yep.
Just give me that.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'll sell out people. Bring it on. I'll help out. Well, I saw someone posted a little cartoon the other day, just a one-panel comic, and it was a guy who'd been picked up by aliens. And they're like, you know, why are you so – was it something like, why are you so happy about this? And he goes, oh, man, I'm just happy to be out of the house.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But like, the stuff that really got me into it was I got when I was a little bit older. Like, you've seen Fire in the Sky?
Oh yeah.
That movie still scares me to today.
Yeah.
And it is one of my favorite stories about alien abduction because, you know, the Travis Walton story is, whether people believe it or not, that last sort of 20 minutes of that movie is absolutely terrifying. You know, just showing the process of him being abducted and tested on is just, you know, the movie itself is pretty good, but it gets to that point where all of a sudden this is what happens and that's how the movie ends is just, I remember I can't remember what year it came out, but I wouldn't have been a teenager when I saw it. And I remember just losing my mind over that last little bit. And that was, I fell down the rabbit hole after that. That was, I think, one of the big catalysts of me becoming interested in all this sort of stuff, and the X-Files coming out as well.
Yeah, and that was all at the same time. So Fire in the Sky was 93. I think Communion came out first, because Communion was like 90, 91.
That's the Christopher Walken one, isn't it?
Yeah, the Christopher Walken one, the Whitley Strieber story.
Yeah.
And then X-Files was right around the time, I think like 92 probably.
Oh, that was, you know, that's early days of the internet too. So there wasn't, you know, you could just, I used to sit on the computer and just lose myself in those rabbit holes. It was fantastic.
I'm curious. So you've seen Fire in the Sky. Have you seen Communion?
Yep. I think I have, but not for a very, very long time.
Okay. Are you at all familiar with Whitley Strieber?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious because, like, I think both of these stories have some similarities, but Strieber seems like, I'm going to use this term even though I hate the term, it seems a little more new agey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you were talking earlier about, like, they're just waiting for us to get to a certain level of, like, consciousness, for example. And I do believe that. But I'm curious, like, between these two stories, even though, like, you have the experimentation and stuff like that, it seems like the aliens in Fire in the Sky are a little more villainous.
A bit more aggressive, yeah.
Yeah, than when you have in Communion. Because in Communion, it's like they're experimenting, but, like, they experiment to make us better, right? Like, the process maybe doesn't seem good to us. Like, it doesn't seem like a healthy process to experiment on people and, like, impregnate them with alien babies, you know, human-alien hybrids, or, like, putting in, like, artifacts into, like, people's ears or whatever, trackers or whatever they are. It doesn't seem like a good thing to do, I guess. But ultimately, like, the goals seem different in between these two stories. Like, the Fire in the Sky story seems like, hey, here's these, like, freaking monkeys. Let's just see what they're about. Just, you know, chop them up and do whatever the hell we want with them. Whereas in Communion, it's like, okay, here's these monkeys. Let's make them better than monkeys.
Yeah, it's almost like the B.F. Skinner tests and things like that, where, you know, the ones in Communion are sort of like, oh, well, let's see what we can do. Let's, you know, we're not going to hurt them, but we're just going to just test them out and see where we can push them to. Whereas Fire in the Sky is just like, hey, man, let's cut this thing open and see what happens.
Well, so with the Communion stuff, I don't know if it's like we don't want to hurt them. It's more like maybe they see things in such a different way that, like, they don't see it as inflicting pain. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's like we do with pets.
Yeah.
You know, you get your dog and you train your dog to bring you the newspaper every day and stuff like that. And, like, you know, you want to push the intelligence of that certain species to see how far you can push it. And it's a bit more like that. It's not, we're going to cut you and put stuff in you and see what happens there. It's more, well, let's just see physically and mentally what their limitations are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's curious. I don't know if you ever saw the documentary Patient... Oh, God, what was it? Patient 7.
No.
Maybe it's 17. It might be 17. It came out a couple years ago. It's pretty interesting. This guy had this implant put in him, and, like, he's gone to doctors. It's been, like, x-rayed. Like, the thing is there. I think at one point he had it removed. But it seems like maybe they knew that he was going to have this appointment to get it removed. So they had changed the structure of the object. So he ends up having, a different object implanted afterwards. And, like, the object is real. I think the documentarian had the object.
Okay.
And was going to be turning it into somebody. Hopefully not to the star. but to somebody. And they were going to do some testing on it or whatever. I don't know, like, what's come out of it. But, like, the guy was legit. And, like, the guy – this is one of those guys that, like, doesn't believe in aliens. Right. And sometimes you got to wonder, like, some of these guys telling these stories to get publicity, and I'm sure some of them are. Like the guy that brought out the what's it called? The Secret Space Program. You've heard of this guy, right? Where he's like, he talks about children being kidnapped very young to fight this war, like at the edge of the galaxy, and then they like, I don't know if it's like they time travel them back to like a certain point, or like they grow a clone body and like inject the consciousness and bring them back into Earth. It's some weird thing like that. Like that guy's story doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No.
Right? Like, could we have a secret space program? Yes.
Sure.
Are we like off at the edge of galaxy fighting aliens? I mean, I don't know, dude. Like that seems a little far fetched.
Oh, I don't think we're there yet. Yeah, I don't think our technology is advanced there. But it's like the stories of how Obama has been to Mars and things like that. It's like, you know, I will be sucked into a conspiracy that seems more plausible. Mm-hmm. But telling me that there's clone bodies of these children who have been taught to fight in a war that out on the edge of galaxy, it's like, yeah, that'd make a great movie.
It's a great book. I don't know about great movie, but it's Ender's Game, dude. That's the plot of Ender's Game.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, some of those things I don't know how much to believe. Because they, and you're right, like, we'd have some technology to back it up, right? Like, sure, the military's always going to be, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ahead in some things.
Yeah.
Right? So God knows, like, the crazy shit that they have. But eventually that translates into something usable for everybody else. I mean, look at cell phones. Like, cell phones are 1,000 times more powerful than a supercomputer in the 60s.
Yeah.
Right? So these things happen. But, like, you know, we don't have, teleporters or flying cars or, whatever. Any other of these fancy things.
We should have a teleporter. Like,
we should have a teleporter. We probably have one somewhere.
Yeah.
We have a Stargate somewhere.
I just don't want to end up like Brundlefly, though.
I don't know, man. Part of the teleporter scares me. Because there's been like legit physicists that like have written papers on how a teleporter would work. And basically like you cease to exist.
Yeah. Right? It always makes me think that, is it you that comes out? Like, cause you, the science behind it, or the science, the, theorized science, is that it breaks all your molecules down, mm-hmm. breaks all your atoms down, and then reassembles you at the other end. And it's right. Like, well, then, are you still the same person?
Right. Well, and the one that I read that seemed the most plausible is even beyond that. When it breaks your molecules down to make copies, it's basically doing, what's it called? Entanglement. So It basically, when you're teleported, it's not you that's teleported. It's a new arrangement of different particles arranged in the exact lattice of you, consciousness and all. But it's an exact copy of you somewhere else.
It just sounds like a fax machine.
Yes, like a fax machine.
It's like the stainless thing. Yeah, like they're taking a photocopy of you and sending it across where you need to go to. And it's, it's the same. It looks exactly the same, but it's not the original.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then the original ceases to exist.
Yeah. So it's almost like a fax machine shredder.
Yes.
Shred your original document and off you go.
Which, I mean, like, I don't know, like, how bad that is technically, right? Like, if it feels like you, it has all your memories, right, from the moment that you're teleported out until you're teleported in. Like, it's exactly you, even though it's a different person technically. Maybe that's, I don't know, man. It's weird.
But it's that thing about the boat that a pirate takes a boat out to sea, and every time something happens to it, he replaces it with a new part. Mm-hmm. And eventually,
oh yeah,
the whole ship is new. So is it technically the same boat?
Yeah. What's that? The Perseus. It's something with Perseus. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. So if everything is the same, everything looks exactly the same, but you've changed the parts over the time. So eventually, I would say it's not the same boat, but then it's still the same design. Like, it's a big riddle.
Well, but, like, that's kind of how you work anyway, right? Because your cells are constantly regenerating. So
yeah, it's true.
Every 7 years, you have basically a brand new body.
Mm. Yeah, so are we still the same people?
But you're still the same person. Ooh. I don't know, maybe it's not so bad. All right, you sold me on it. Teleport me away. Fax me to the end of the galaxy to fight a galactic war.
Yeah, sign me up. I got nothing better to do at the moment.
That's right. All right, let's go back to this thing. Aliens in the past, aliens in the present. How much do you think aliens have shaped the history of people?
Yeah, I find like the ancient aliens sort of thing, I sort of go back and forth on it. There are times when I see stuff and I go, oh, that makes sense. And then there's stuff that – it's the same thing with all of it. You know, I'd like to think that some days I'm a skeptical believer in that I believe but I need more proof, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, the technology that they've had, I don't know, they wouldn't have gone back in time, but it's more their technology would have been so advanced that they would have been coming here for a long time. And we just, our technology advanced to a point where we could actually see them or take photos of them, you know. So
here's my thing. I'm with you in that I think they've been coming for a long time. And I think that on purpose, we're kind of taught to not believe in it. What the reason, I don't know, right? Like, I don't think necessarily it's nefarious, right? Like, I don't think it's like, oh, these poor monkeys, like, they wouldn't know how to handle it. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But there's definitely some reason why that is. And I guess it could depend on, like, the outlook of this alien species on the universe, right? Like, think about if you're so advanced. And I don't want to take like a historical example because I think humans are pieces of garbage.
yes, oh, because we agree on that.
Yeah, any example in human history they can think of, like it's not going to be like when the Spanish came to America and just like decimated native populations, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's true of like 99% of any invasion.
Yep.
Right. So this is just how people are. I'm trying to think like how this would work with a species that can travel across the galaxy, right? Like, there has to be some conscious belief that puts you so far ahead of us that it's not like it's a vindictive thing, right? It's like it's not like Daniken, right, where he's like, oh, yeah, the aliens came and, like, made humans so they can mine gold. Like, that seems so stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why would they want to just create humans to mine gold? Just fucking mine gold yourself. You traveled across the galaxy and you can't build a machine to mine gold for you? Like, that doesn't make sense.
But that also puts value in gold too. Like a species that can travel across a galaxy, why do they need gold?
Well, so his thing is that their planet was dying because they ruined it, I guess with pollution. And there are certain properties in gold that apparently would help clean the atmosphere.
Okay.
All right. So there's been some like legit experiments, not ancient alien people, done on this kind of thing, where it could theoretically work. But still like, it's not like gold is rare. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Gold is only valuable because of perceived rarity. Gold is not a rare thing. So you can find gold anywhere. Yeah. Why come here to get gold? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't. The ancient alien stuff, it's so much of it is so out there that it's very hard to really believe and wrap your head around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like they talk about the aliens building the pyramids, and it's like, well, you know, you look at – there are people who have done the studies on the manpower and things like that that would have taken to build it. And it's like, well, it's still doable. Humans still could have done it.
Dude, you know, it's so – I think the way that it was actually built is so ingenious that even us with our advanced technology haven't figured it out yet. Because, like, even some of the plausible things, right? Like, it took 20 years, whatever it was, like, 100,000 people, 20 years to build. Like, if you do the math with the number of blocks, it's like moving one block from quarry to pyramid in 3 minutes. And that's, like, literally impossible.
Yeah.
Right? So.
But there's something that they did. They had some kind of system before, something that we haven't discovered in their ruins yet that they used to do it. I don't see it being made by, you know, anti-gravity devices and things like that.
Mm-hmm. What was it? What was the one that I liked? It wasn't anti-gravity, but it was similar. It was basically with, like, sound acoustics.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Which I really like. And matter of fact, if you ever want to go into a cool-ass rabbit hole, you look up acoustics on YouTube, and there's some guys doing, like, crazy experiments with sound. Like, there's a team, I want to say they're in California, that built like a 3D holographic display that actually gives you tactile feedback, and it's all based on sound. Like even the graphics, even the graphics are sound. They levitate a colored styrofoam pebble, and they're able to move it around this 3D space with speakers. They use a certain frequency, and so if they move it fast enough, they can get it to make shapes. Because you know you can only see 30 frames a second. So they're moving it fast enough where it looks like the pebble is making a shape. And because it's all acoustics, they can tune the speakers in a certain way where like you can actually grab the object that is being holographically projected, and like touch it, and you feel texture, and it's incredible. Like that is a rabbit hole you should go on.
That sounds very cool.
But I'm with you, dude. Like the Ancient Alien stuff has some interesting points, but the problem is that it ends up going into like this weird like 1950s sci-fi space, right? Where like let's just make it as fantastical as possible and not entirely practical.
But I also think it's taking credit away from people who probably invented something back then.
For sure.
You know, and it's arrogance again of people going, well, if we can't do it now, they couldn't have done it.
Right.
And, you know, well, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it just means you haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
There's a ton of that stuff. If you ever look into, like, deep history stuff, I don't want to say, like, alt archaeology, although I've seen that term float around. I think the correct term is deep archaeology. But there's guys like, some of the podcasts I listen to, for example, like Uncharted X or Brothers of the Serpent, Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape. They dive into some of the stuff, and especially Uncharted X, and he's got a fantastic YouTube channel where he actually goes to these places. I think his last video was on Machu Picchu, but he's done a ton in Egypt, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the objects that you find there are just like insane that they could be made in, let's say, the Bronze Age with like bronze tools or flint or like ground up with a rock. You know what I mean? Like granite vases with like, you know, they're just like they've been hollowed out on the inside to like a millimeter thick layer. And like there's obvious machine tools like markings all around it. Like it looks like it's been dremeled out.
Mm.
And like how would you do that with just a rock and like a copper knife, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seems impossible. But I recommend you check those out. They're fantastic.
But it's like, it's, you know, everything is impossible until we discover how to do it, sort of thing.
Of course.
What's the old term, like the thing you see in movies and stuff, magic is just science we haven't discovered yet.
Yep.
So, like, I get it. I get that these people can believe that, but it just seems such a cop-out too. Or aliens did it, you know? Like, I'd love to... If we ever could time travel or if we ever found out that aliens did come and did do all that stuff, cool, man, I'll believe. But I think we're just not giving credit to a generation because we haven't discovered how to do it. We're being a bit more arrogant. Well, we've got all this technology and we can't do that. How could they have ever done it? Well, we don't know.
Well, and not just that. Think about, like, when you don't have resources, how ingenuous you need to be to make something.
Yeah.
Right? Like
you find a way.
You find a way to I don't know what term you guys have in Australia. We have a few here in the US. My favorite is redneck engineering.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have something similar over there. But like when you have nothing and you need to make something, you're gonna find a way to make it, right? Like people are smart enough to do that. It might not be like perfect, but it's gonna get the job done. Right?
It's still gonna work. Yeah.
It's still gonna work. And you know, and I think if aliens did come and did anything, maybe it's just more like inspiration.
Yeah. Right? All the aliens came down, saw this guy doing this, came down and went, hey man, that's pretty cool. You did well, you know, and like laughed at the thing and then saw it work and went, oh, okay, cool. we don't need to do this.
Yeah. Or even then, just like give a tip, right? Like, oh, don't use that side of the rock. Like use the other side of the rock. It'll come out better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? maybe they have like in Star Trek, you know, where you have the Prime Directive where you can like visit and get to know the culture or whatever, but you can't influence their development.
Yeah, it's a watcher. Watcher.
Yeah,
I can
exactly.
watch, but I can't help.
Exactly. Yeah. To me, that makes more sense. And I think a lot of the Ancient Alien stuff kind of detracts from, like, possible genuine science and contact.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like I said, I think it's just that because we haven't discovered how they did it, we just assume that they had extra help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's yeah. The ancient alien stuff. I go in and out on, and some of it I find just, you know, it's people just going, well, like I said, people going, oh, well, if we couldn't do it, aliens must have helped them. It's like, well, you know, but then it's, you know, you see some of the hieroglyphics in ancient Egypt, you do see things that look like alien craft and alien and
yeah,
aliens.
The helicopter and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if, you know, it's a bit of both. It's like maybe they saw something they didn't understand, or, you know, you look at Leonardo da Vinci's designs, maybe someone before him designed something similar and someone saw that. You know, it's, we don't know. That's the thing. We're putting our modern eyes on it, and we just assume, or we look at it and go, well, that looks like this,
mm-hmm.
but whether or not it is, or someone saw a bird that looked a bit weird, but then it kind of, when they drew it into the wall, it looked like a UFO. Like it's such a, we, you know, we're putting our eyes on it and we don't know exactly what they saw.
Yeah, that's true. Like if we didn't have computers or, you know, spaceships or whatever, would we see those things when we find the artifacts? And probably not, right? Because if it's true, then when people first discovered these things 100, 200, 300 years ago, they would have been like, oh, that looks like it could be something that flies in space.
Yeah.
But they didn't say that.
And that was, we're looking at times before they even knew what space was.
Sure.
You know, we're looking at, you know, when they used to worship the sun, and they had no idea, they thought the sun was a god rather than a giant ball of gas in space. So it's, you know, it's their eyes, it's ancient eyes looking at something. So we just don't know.
So with that, I will only partially agree with you.
Okay.
For the reason that I think a lot of the stuff is like free writing that's just passed down and eventually gets moved into writing. And I think when you have that jump from a verbal history to a written history, you end up losing the original meaning. And my example for this is always like, I don't know how familiar you are with like mysteries, for example. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of the mystery schools fall into like New Agey, like esoteric stuff. But there's been mystery schools for thousands of years. And I think there's a way to pass knowledge that makes more sense when it's, I'll just say like encrypted in an image, right? So if you say like, you know, what's a good one? Okay, so today's Easter, for example. So the Egyptians had a story about Osiris gets killed by his brother and gets cut up into 12 pieces. And he's reborn on like the first full moon after the spring equinox, which is exactly why we celebrate Easter. Easter is the first Sunday after the full moon, after the spring equinox. How could you? Does it make more sense to dictate that story in exactly those dry terms? Well, just celebrate the resurrection of Christ, the first Sunday after the full moon, after the spring equinox. Or is it more? Would you remember it better if I said like? I don't know, how could I say this? Because I don't remember the exact words that they used in Egyptians. But something like, you know, the moon goddess gave birth to Osiris after her husband Ra woke up, right? Ra the sun. Like, after Ra woke up, the moon goddess gave birth to Osiris. Like, that's a much more figurative, metaphorical way of saying the exact thing I said before, right? First Sunday after the full moon, after the spring equinox. But if you don't have that knowledge, then to you it just seems like some bullshit, like fable, right? Like a fairy story. But if you have that like secret knowledge where you can understand what the words mean, you can derive the correct meaning. So I know what you're saying, but I don't know if I entirely agree, because I think a lot of the stories from really ancient cultures do have secondary meanings that can be derived from the word. And again, and this could go back to the same thing as before. Well, you know, you're just imposing like your current knowledge of technology or whatever into these old things. Very possible. But I do think that people are much smarter than you give them credit for in some respects. There's a lot of stupid people.
Yeah. Right?
But I'm not talking about like the general public. Like these are people that like they're born into like a priest caste, right? And they're raised their entire lives to see the world in a certain way. So they have this knowledge that others don't, right? Like if you go down the street and meet like, I don't know, Stephen Hawking, right? He's dead, so you can't do that. But let's just pretend he's alive. You go and you see Stephen Hawking, Like, and he starts talking to you about black holes. I mean, you probably don't know what the hell he's talking about, right? Like, he can find some stupid way of telling it to you where, like, you can get the gist of it. But if he starts going into, like, the math of it, you're like, nope, thanks. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That sort of thing comes back to that quote from Albert Einstein where you don't understand something unless you can explain it to a seven-year-old.
Right. Yes. And there's a YouTube series about that.
Yeah. And you can go through all the math and all that sort of stuff as much as you want. But it's unless you can actually explain it to a child, I don't think you truly understand it, if that makes sense.
Yep.
There are a lot of concepts that can't be explained because it's, you know, it would be too high concept for a kid to understand anyway. Mm-hmm. But there are some stuff that, yeah, like the black hole theory. Like my daughter is 10 and I could explain it to her and she would understand, but I would, we'd have to water it down a little bit. You can't get into the mathematics of it all. You'd have to just explain in broad terms. And I think that's a lot of it is coming back to the ancient alien things. A lot of that is we don't understand it, but we need to understand it. So we'll just put something on it.
Yep. Yeah. I had this argument with one of my daughter's teachers last year. I got called into a parent-teacher conference because she was not paying attention and she was being disruptive, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, long story short, what I got out of the meeting is that if you don't dictate back exactly as you're told, then it's incorrect. And I think the problem with that is the way that some things are taught in school, and I'm using school as an example. This is true of, like, I think all of life, work and everything else. But like, I think you're taught things a certain way just to, like, get you to understand the basics of how things work, right? So like, when you go to school, you're taught, like, the sun is the center of the solar system, the planets go around it in a circle, right? Well, like, that's not true because different planets have different shaped orbits, right? Like, some are elliptical, some are more circular. Some like Neptune spin upside down. Or no, Venus is upside down. Neptune is, like, sideways. You're not taught that. You're not taught about, like, the movement of the solar system through, like, the galaxy itself. So, like, the solar system corkscrews through space. Like, I didn't know that until, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody taught me that in school. And, like, sure, it's not important to, like, your everyday life. But then again, like, a lot of stuff is probably not important to my everyday life, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yet I learn it.
Yeah. But I think too, with that, with the planets and the rotations and the way they move, I get it. If they're teaching kids in, you know, like my other daughter is 7. And if they're teaching kids at her age about the solar system, then it's a good way to show, hey, this is where the sun's here. Everything spins around it. And they, you know, very broad, basic terms. But as you get older, you should learn that everything doesn't spin on the same axis. Everything moves differently. And my older daughter she loves astronomy. And so she has learned that sort of stuff by reading into books a little bit above her level. And so it shows that, like, I get it for younger kids, but you know what? If you want kids to be interested in that sort of thing, you could say to them, hey, look, this is what you've been taught here. It's actually this. And hey, how about this? This planet spins on this axis and this one goes this way and this one does this. If kids show interest in that sort of thing, you need to show them further. And my biggest thing is you can relate. Like, I learn by relating it to something else. Like, when I first started doing jiu-jitsu many, many years ago, my instructor, who was a very good friend of mine, we both liked pro wrestling, and he was trying to teach me how to do a break fall. And he said to me, you know, it's like that roll that Eddie Guerrero does when he jumps over the rope. And so in my head, I can see that and I go, okay, I know what I need to do. You know, whereas the person next to me who was learning it as well, he wouldn't say that to him. If he wasn't a wrestling fan, he might say, you need to roll like this. So it's a great way to learn in that you relate it to something else as well, something that people understand. And so just saying to someone, you know, if all your knowledge went from the earth is the center of the universe, or sorry, not the earth, there you go, I've gone back into ancient time. The sun is the center of our universe and everything spins around it, is a great term for people to understand. We, you know, okay, this is exactly what it is.
Yep.
But when you get into the further science of it, that's when it's probably you might lose some people because some people just wouldn't care, and other people would be like, well, yeah, it's exactly what you've told me. It's just in a very broad stroke.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, the solar system thing is probably not a good example for what I'm about to say, but I think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where, like, when you're not taught the way things are, you're taught like some semblance of how they are, you start having doubts of what really is. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of the problem in particular, I think, with like Ancient Aliens and certain other conspiracy theories, is like those things seem just as plausible as the basics of what you're taught. So why not? So it seems like if you were taught the correct thing to begin with, some of these things wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, and I think with you, when you talk about conspiracy theories, I think the more basic a conspiracy theory is, the more likely it is to actually be true.
Yep.
You know, it's like it's that old story about people who, you know, when you lie, if you get into really intricate detail, you will trip up.
Yep.
Whereas if your lie is very much, oh, I got a headache. No one, you know, no one questions it. Or, you know, the one that people used to say, you know, when people would call in sick and they'd go, I have gastro, like, you know, I have stomach flu. Everyone knows what that's like, so no one questions it.
Right.
But if you ring up and you go, yeah, look, I was walking down the stairs and I slipped and I think I might have broken my ankle. But then you turn up the next day without a foot cast or something on, people are going to be like, well, hang on.
Yep.
You know, and it's the same with the conspiracy theories. You know, it's the, well, we've got the, I can't even think of his name off the top of my head now, but the guy who shot JFK, we think, yep, okay, we've got that. But then there's a conspiracy of the shooter on there. And then once you get further into, well, there was a guy in the grass, you know, or was it the driver who turned around and shot him in the head? Like, the more intricate it is, the more less likely I think it is to be true.
Yep. Dude, I just had a Mandela effect with the JFK thing. I don't know if you ever listened to Last Podcast on the Left.
Yes.
But they just did like a 6-part series on JFK. And they were talking about the, I think it was the governor of Texas was in the car with them. And they were talking about the car. And I swear on my dead mother's grave that there was nobody in that car except Secret Service, Kennedy and his wife. And,
yeah.
That it was a 4-seater car. But they talked about what this car looked like and the 2 seats facing JFK. It was a 6-seater car. And I'm like, I've seen many a picture of this thing and never have I seen a 3rd seat.
Yeah. I can picture it in my head and I can't see anybody else in the car.
Right? Yeah. The governor and his wife were seated across from Kennedy and his wife. So that there was the 2 front seats was the driver's Secret Service. And then there's a seat directly behind that had the governor and his wife. And then behind that was Kennedy and his wife.
Huh.
See?
I can't see it.
I can't see it either. I've seen a ton of pictures of this.
Yeah.
It's always been a 4-seater car.
Yeah. It's always been just a normal sedan type car with no roof.
Nope. Not it.
Wow.
Got a 3rd seat.
I'm going to have to look it up after we talk about it. That's nuts.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyways. Synchronicities.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Here's the thing that I've been wondering about lately. You asked me what we wanted to talk about, and here's the thing. I don't plan shit. So I threw out a couple things to you. We haven't talked about any of those things.
Yep.
But I was curious, because I've been thinking about this a bit. I recently saw a movie whose title I can't remember, so I apologize. But spoiler alert, the aliens look like Men in Black, and in the end, it turns out that the aliens aren't aliens. Okay. I don't want to spoil the ending of the movie, but I've been seeing some different things over the last couple of years. I think for the longest time, the UFO thing was flying saucers.
Yep. Right?
But what I find curious is I think over the last couple of years, there's been like, well, in the cigar-shaped ones. But I think over the last couple of years, there's been like a growth in the number of shapes that people are seeing. And one of the ones that I find most interesting, and I don't know if you've ever seen these, are the cube ones.
No, I haven't seen cube.
Okay, so when you get a chance, look up cube UFOs. There's a couple that are obviously fake.
Yep.
In fact, one of them I know for a fact has to be fake. It looks super fake. And it was done. The guy that premiered the video is a very popular UFO YouTuber. I won't.
So you just threw a Rubik's cube into the air or something?
Well, it was CGI.
Yeah, okay.
Like they had MUFON look at it, and MUFON's like, "Yeah, we blew it up. It just looks like CGI.
Yeah,
like, you can see the pixels." But I have seen some of these that look like fairly legit. And a couple were like weird, where it was like a sphere floating inside a square or inside a cube. Mm. I'm curious. Have you ever thought maybe these aren't extraterrestrial? Maybe they're ultra-terrestrial. We're like, they're not even from our dimension. They're from some other place.
Well, I mean, we talk about, or you know, the theory, like the multiverse theory of, you know, every time we make a decision, we split off into two different worlds where in that world you made, you know, in the morning, instead of making your coffee, you thought you'd buy a coffee on the way to work, whereas in the other one, you bought you made your coffee and then took it to work. Like, it's even just basic things like that, that every time you make a decision, it splits off into a new multiverse and a new dimension.
Yes.
And so, you know, I mean, it's a very, because we, you know, we can't, we know of space. So it's one of those things where the limitations on our technology and the limitations on our thought process, in that we know space. We know that space is this everlasting, infinite void where anything could be possible out there. But because we don't know much about if we do have other dimensions and things like that, it's very hard to wrap your head around, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, but there's always the talk of like Skinwalker Ranch as well, where they've seen UFOs and Bigfoot and all sorts of stuff. And they talk about that Bigfoot, you know, there's stories of Bigfoot going into portals and things like that.
Dude, so, I was telling Nick about this a couple of weeks ago, and he thought I was making it up.
There you go, Nick. We've confirmed it. Two of us know.
Dude, there's a documentary that just came out on Amazon Prime Video like a week or two ago about aliens and Bigfoot. I have to watch it. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it yet.
Yep.
But I have to watch it. Yeah, I first heard about that like a year or 2 years ago, and it sounded totally wacky, and then I got into it, and I was like, kind of makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's – but then when you think about, you know, like the dimensions and things like that, you know, you'd know about like the missing 411.
Oh, yeah.
Which is some of my favorite things to read, those stories of people just disappearing. And, you know, a lot of the time I'm sure it's just people being murdered, and there's someone in the – you know, like – there could be a serial killer haunting, you know, running around these, you know, the most obvious explanation is usually the right one.
Yep.
But what if these people are falling into interdimensional rifts and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a fairly new podcast. I've done like 12 episodes called The Wildly Unexplained. And I'll shut them out, cause, I found them totally by mistake. I was like their first Patreon. Those guys are super awesome. I chat with them all the time. And they started doing, like, that's basically what the podcast was. The last episode they did was the Outlaw Pass, which I don't know if you're familiar with that story.
Yeah.
Fascinating story. And but they focus on the missing 411 stuff. And the one thing that I've asked them to do that they're concerned about doing is like giving some theories on like what this could be, because they like to stick to the facts, and I totally respect that. And, you know, they're very informative. They're very thorough when they talk about the cases. But like some of them dove into right before the Yellow Pass one, they did a couple that were related to the missing 411 cases, but that were also related to the Smiley Face Killer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I love that, right? Because now you're kind of breaking out of the mold of like these people are just going to national parks and they're going missing. Well, maybe serial killer.
Yeah.
Have they talked about maybe it's Bigfoot? No. Have they talked about maybe it's aliens? No. And that's fine. But I like the fact that it could be something else. Because you're right. Like, the missing 411 stuff is crazy.
There's so many missing persons. It's just insane.
There's like thousands of people missing.
Yeah.
And like nobody knows anything. The investigations are like a joke, basically. When you try to get information on missing people from like the National Park Service, get nothing because they don't keep records for some reason. Like, why would you not keep records of people going missing in the park, right? And if it was like
that's the thing that always baffled me.
If it's a couple people, like, all right, kind of a fluke, but like we're talking thousands of people all across the U.S. And I know there's been a couple guys like looking for patterns. And one that I found really interesting, I saw fairly recently, was a lot of the cases are actually near cave systems, underground cave systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sure, you could say like, yeah, they fell into a cave. But then like, how do they show up, you know, 20, 30 miles away?
Yeah, exactly. Or they find like parts of their clothing miles away. And,
yeah. Like a cave doesn't explain
that. Little kids who've walked, you know, straight up sheer rock faces that experienced rock climbers couldn't even do. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems weird. And you know, that could very easily go into some of these, I would say a little more fringe alien theories of like an underground civilization where like they're not necessarily aliens. It's just either an offshoot human species or something else that evolved at some point in time that is just as smart or smarter than we are and lives underground.
But you're looking at stuff like the movie The Hills Have Eyes, the irradiated mutants people, like not that they're mutant, but they could be a family or a, you know, a little offshoot. It could be like a cult as well who have
for sure
moved in under there. I mean, the thing is like people are inherently, especially in packs, they can be very stupid. And you know,
people because know.
You know, I think, and like we said, like I said before, that you know, the most obvious answer is usually the right one. And if it was a group of people who decided to form a cult, move away from society, and live in a cave system, well, it would be very plausible. Mm-hmm. And if the cave systems are very intricate, then there are chances we would never find a trace of them.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. There's a really good sci-fi series that if you haven't checked out, I recommend. It's called Destiny's Children, written by Stephen Baxter. I came upon this book purely by chance, I would say maybe 10 years ago. And after you get through the first book, it changes drastically. But mm-hmm. I love the setup of the first book because it's present day and it reads a little bit like, God, what's that series that Tom Hanks did the movie of? Angels and Demons, like that thing.
Yeah. Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code, there you go. So it kind of starts off a little bit like that, where you have this guy doing this research, and he goes out to the Vatican, ends up meeting this, like, weird, like, underground sex, like, Catholic sex, and ends up meeting this, like, sect of nuns that, like, never leave their, like, underground monastery. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like things get really weird, like people start disappearing or whatever, and like it turns out these nuns have something to do with it. And not to spoil the rest of the series, but basically because these nuns have been there, they're basically kidnapping people that are related to them somehow, because they keep like very good genealogy. And so they find like people that are descendant from the same people, kidnap them, have babies with them, and like they kill the males, and they just raise the children in this like underground nun convent. And you kind of you start going forward into the future. And so the first book ends in a very far future story where like this weird sect of nuns that lives on the ground has become like an offshoot human species. And they're like feral, right? Because they just live on the ground. Like that movie, The Descent. And in the far future, like, there's this intergalactic war between humanity and, like, the species that is an offspring of this weird nun sect. It's crazy.
Wow.
But the first book is awesome. The rest of the series reads more like a fairly typical sci-fi book. But the first book of the series I thought was awesome and very creative. It could be something like that. You know what I mean? You don't know. Think about, like, all the cataclysms we've had. I don't know if you've been reading a lot on the Younger Dryas stuff, for example. The asteroid impact that ended the Ice Age, so 10,500 years ago. There's a lot of like deep archaeology stuff that is trying to bring in this asteroid impact into it. Talking about this, like, you know, some people say like Atlantis. I don't like using that because when you say Atlantis, a lot of people start thinking like, oh, this is just some made up bullshit. But like, could there have been a group, say 12,000 years ago, 15,000 years ago on Earth that was more advanced than everybody else, right? Like, of course, right? Like now we can go to space, and yet there's still tribes in the Amazon that just like hunt with a dart
and have never seen humans before.
And have never seen anybody else before, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So is that possible? Yes. Could they go into space? I don't know, right? Maybe not. But they could be more advanced, and maybe they built some of these weird buildings that we see around the world, right? I know some guys like to talk about like the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx. There's a lot of discussion about the actual age of those buildings. But there's other stuff that like nobody ever talks about. Like there's these crazy like underground cities and temples in Malta with like, you know, 200-300-ton blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like how do you move a 300-ton block? On an island. Like, yeah. Where's that coming from? You know what I mean? That's weird. There's like vast underground cities in like Turkey, for example. I know there's been a few found over the years. I think within the last two or three, they ended up going deeper into like an existing one. They found a tunnel that stretched like 20 miles that led them to a previously undiscovered one that's like four times the size of the biggest one they ever found. I mean, these are like underground cities that are like, you know, six levels deep. You're going hundreds of feet underground. Like, and they're ventilated. Like, they found a way to ventilate gigantic underground cities somehow. However old these things are, they can't date them because they're all rock and you can't date rock. Right? But, you know, it's possible. Maybe at some point, an asteroid impact, a bunch of people died. Some people are like, oh, the asteroid's coming. Let's build this underground city. And they just never left.
Yeah.
Maybe they went deeper underground. It's completely plausible.
Yeah. It's that, you know, we talk about, you know, the advancement of cultures. And back then, you know, the people who, you know, you think about back in the caveman days, like the first one who decided to start using tools. Then when apes started using tools, or the first caveman to discover fire, or the wheel, like there's an advancement in culture that makes them, well, hey, I can carry, you know, three or four dead deer now back to my village, whereas you can only carry one because that's all you can carry in your arms.
Right.
You know, like, bang, there's a technological advancement. So it's entirely plausible that there could be some, not so much like, I'm not talking like an underground race of aliens or anything like that, but it's entirely plausible that someone could have just moved underground in this cave system and is just living there. And because of how long and intricate the caves run, we just don't know.
There's a conjecture here, or a point of contact in between what we're talking about now and aliens, because there's actually a mountain range, and I believe it's in Alaska, where these two things combine. Because apparently there's like flying saucers seen flying out of this mountain, and there's been like a ton of like conspiracy theories about. Not just the – I think there's an Air Force base or a Navy base that's been built into the mountain. But apparently there's like – it was built above this like existing alien base that was under the mountain. So this is one of those places where like aliens and military kind of working together, working on technology for the U.S. government. I think it is for the U.S. government. And that – I mean, maybe – I don't know. There is a documentary on that too on Amazon. And I think it's just called like Aliens Underground.
There's so much of it that just you talk about and you go, but maybe, you know, like it's.
Yeah, maybe. It's
the skeptical believer thing of, you know, well, I think it's all plausible, but I don't have proof.
Yeah. And the thing is like, if there's all these theories, right? There must be aliens all over the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, wouldn't it just be easier to just be like, hey, we're here? Because, like, we've been here for forever. And we just, like, and then nobody pays attention, right? Like, nobody freaks out then.
Yeah. They can move in and we can, you know, have neighbors who are aliens and things like that. Cool. I can do that.
Like, coneheads?
Yeah.
alien nation?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite alien sighting, abduction story, anything like that?
What's the one
that you kept coming back to?
I really like the Whitley Strieber stuff. Again, some of it's a little new agey, and that bugs me in some way. Not because I don't like new agey stuff. I love that stuff. I just don't like the term. And so just like connecting the two together gives me the heebie-jeebies. But I really like his story. I just finished his latest book, and I thought it was fascinating. I don't know if you got a chance to read it yet or not.
No, not yet.
But he seems just like a really genuine guy, right? And it's one of these guys that, like, has never sought notoriety or anything. Like, sure, I'm sure he made a bunch of, well, at least some money off that movie, off Commute. And, you know, he's been writing books for decades now. But it's not like, I don't know. It's like, what's the guy that outed Area 51? He was just on Rogan.
Yeah, I can't think of the guy's name. Because what's the one, there's a Netflix documentary about the guy. Yes. Is it that guy as well?
Yeah.
Is it the same guy?
It's the same guy.
Oh, it's annoying me now. I can't think of his name.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I watched that one too, and that one was pretty interesting. The guy said he'd got out of there and he'd taken some kind of medal, but they've never been able to find the medal that he took. And
yeah, Element 115.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, oddly enough, like we've discovered now. And apparently it's got like, and apparently it's got some weird properties. But yeah, he took it out of his story's weird, right? But like that's another one of those guys. Like he's never like sold his story to Hollywood. I don't think he ever wrote any books. Like he does like a couple of conferences, but like very rarely. And like how much could he possibly make of those? You know what I mean? Yeah, his documentary was really interesting. I don't know, like the whole FBI thing where they raid his place. I don't know if that necessarily has anything to do with his Area 51 work. It seems like he had sold, because he sells chemicals. He owns a chemical company, and it seems like a guy bought chemicals from him and built a bomb and killed some people, and that's why the FBI.
Bob Lazar.
Yeah, Bob Lazar. There you go. How could I forget that name?
Mm.
Anyone that knows aliens listening to this is like these guys. Frauds.
Shaking their heads at us.
But like he doesn't seem like he cares for any of the fame, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, Rogan tried to get him on that show for years, dude. Rogan's been talking about that for at least 5 years. Oh, we're gonna get Bob Lazar. So I don't know.
It's the same, like the other one that I watched, like the Bob Lazar one was interesting, but the one I watched that I started out really liking and then just found it just stupid by the end was the it's the Stephen Greer one, and when he brings up that little tiny yellow and black alien at the end. Have you seen this one?
No.
So it's this, I can't remember what it's called, but it's Dr. Stephen Greer, who's, you know, supposed to be like an alien researcher and stuff.
Yep.
And he does this whole documentary about the research he's done and everything like that, and then they talk about halfway through that he's found like an alien skeleton or something. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And then he brings up this thing, and it's literally, it looks like an action figure. And it's the size of an action figure, and it's yellow and black, and they're testing it all, and the test results have come back inconclusive. And it's like, it looks like shit. I'm sorry, dude. It doesn't look like anything. It looks like you went to your kid's toys and went, yeah, that'll do. I'll just paint it differently.
Is this Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind?
It might be. I did watch it a long time ago, but yeah, it was just, I was really in for the first sort of say 45 minutes. And then after that, I was like, okay, all right. it just deflated me.
Dude, Greer's an interesting guy. The first time I saw an interview with him, he seemed pretty legit. But like the more I look into him, it just seems like he just wants to make some cash.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many of those sorts of people around there.
Yeah.
So, I mentioned when we were talking about doing this episode, and today when I was talking to you about getting ready, like, so my wife and I and my kids we came to America last year for a wedding.
Hell yeah.
And we were staying with some friends in Phoenix after the wedding, and my wife has never been big on coming to America. She just, you know, she sees all the gun nuts and things like that, and she's like, yeah, no, not the place I want to go to. And so when we sort of decided we were going to go, and we thought we may as well go over the mainland and do a few weeks over and drive around, the biggest thing she said to me was, I want to go visit Roswell.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, if we're going to be in that area, yeah. We also went to Tombstone, and that was very, very cool. And I got to see Michael Biehn was there when we were there.
Oh, nice.
So that was really cool. But anyway, so we drove into Roswell, and my favorite thing about it is it's this tiny little town, but it embraces it.
Yes, like, it does.
Every second shop is a... Every second place is an alien, a UFO souvenir shop. The streetlights have alien eyes on them. You know, it's crazy. But we went and did a 2-hour tour around Roswell with a man called Dennis Balthazar. And Dennis is this older gentleman who worked with several of the witnesses to the Roswell crash. And so he drove us around. He picked us up, me, my wife, and the kids, and drove us around in his SUV and took us to places like, this is the house of the guy who, you know, the army sergeant who was one of the first people on scene, and this is this person and the local police and stuff like that. And it was just fascinating. And then towards the end of the tour, he takes you to the hangar where everything was brought after the crash.
Oh, wow.
And to me, like, I was speechless. We went out there. And he's going, this is where everything was brought, and blah blah blah. It's all fenced off because it's a hangar. It's an actual at an airport there,
right?
A private airport. But it was just, you know, whether you believe it was an alien crash or a UFO or an American test plane or whatever, that's still history. And especially for, you know, people like you and me, that's conspiracy history. And that is like, you know, that would be like going to area, like actually going to stand properly outside Area 51 and things like that. Yep. And so like, it is just, but the stories he was telling us and talking to people and talking to, you know, the things that fascinated me was that we drove past this building and he goes, oh, there's the FBI office in Roswell.
And what?
I said, what? And he goes, yeah, that's the FBI office. And I said, why is there an FBI office in Roswell? It doesn't seem like a big enough town. I just assumed they'd be in major cities. And he just looks at me and goes, exactly. And he said, yeah, it's very strange that, you know, all of a sudden Roswell got an FBI office and it's not a, you know, it's not a big place. It's tiny for what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, so it was just some very fascinating things. And we just talked about stuff and if you ever go to Roswell, you need to do this guy's tour. It is absolutely fascinating. And he's very engaging and he was great with the kids. Like he would tell Amy and I something and then he would explain it to the kids as well and dumb it down a bit for them. And the kids were fascinated. Like my youngest sometimes can't sit through a 90-minute movie and she sat there and she was fascinated the whole time. And, you know, he was just so engaging and I've heard him on a few podcasts and he tells that story, but he worked with the guy who had witnessed a lot of it. And one day they were just chatting and he kept pushing him about stuff that he'd seen and blah, blah, blah. And the guy never, and then one day the guy said, oh yeah, that was where they took the bodies. And Dennis said, what did you say? He goes, oh no, sorry. I meant this. And like, he changed his tune very quickly and it was just fascinating. Like it's such an interesting story. And especially when you speak to a guy and like they've got the Roswell UFO Museum there and that's really fascinating too. But just this 2-hour tour is one of the best. It was probably the best thing I did when we were in America. It is absolutely fascinating.
Dude, I'm looking at a Google Street View of Roswell, New Mexico right now, and this FBI building has got to be the biggest building in this.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. It's gigantic. it makes no sense. Like it's the equivalent of a country town.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at it. It's tiny, and the FBI building is right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, it's just, it's insane. Like, it makes no sense for it to be there. It baffled me. It was just such a, like, just the way he said it. Just, oh, and there's the FBI building. What?
That is crazy.
It would be like a town of 200 people having a, you know, a homicide squad.
Yeah, well, like a town of 200 people having a national football team stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes no sense. So, you know, that was the, you know, and while you're on the way to Roswell, we drove past turnoffs to like White Sands, which is where the nuclear testing was.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was, I said, oh, we should go and have a look. She's like, I don't want to go where they dropped atomic bombs. Thank you.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah. So,
What was the cost of this tour? You don't mind me asking.
Oh, it's like $100.
No kidding. For all of you?
And he picks you up. Yeah.
Wow.
And he picks you up and he takes you around and it's 2 hours of him. Like, he is fascinating. And he's written a lot of, like, he has a website where he blogs about stuff like that. He's really into underground bases, mm-hmm. which we were talking about. And so I just found him to be one of the most fascinating people I've ever met.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to see and if I can I convince would, my wife to do it.
Well, if I reckon I would go back and do it again. That's how much I loved it.
Huh. Did you get a chance to talk to, like, any locals?
Kind of. I mean, not really. We went into the UFO Museum, and that was really fascinating. But because we had the kids with us, it's sort of like you can't really stop people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's – but it's – like, a lot of the stuff, that you know, it has that tackiness about it too, where you go into places and it's – like, I'll send you some of the photos later where it's set up like – there's a barbecue and there's aliens sitting at the barbecue and, you know, like the fun, tacky stuff that you really want to do.
Yeah.
And the museum is fascinating and it's, I almost bought a copy of, they had all the Project Blue Book printouts.
No kidding.
But it was sort of, it's exactly what it was. It wasn't like a proper book. It was a printout that they put a ring binder on and I was like, I'm not paying $30 for that for something I could print out at home.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it was just, yeah, so it's sort of, it's like going to Disneyland, but for UFO enthusiasts.
Hell yeah. Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I'd do it again. I'd go back there. But it was just, you know, even the way they embrace it, and, you know, all the hotels have something to do with aliens around, and it was just fascinating. It's such a tiny little town of, but embraces the whole thing. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm sure that's like a large revenue source for, right, the tourism.
Oh, for sure. It would. That place would live and die by its tourism, definitely.
Yeah. Dang. And you're wearing shirt.
So, yeah, their local minor league baseball team is the Roswell Invaders. I'm not sure if they still are, but they were the Roswell Invaders. And so I'm literally wearing my Roswell Invaders t-shirt now because I thought it would be appropriate.
That's amazing. Yeah, I wouldn't mind going there, man. I did visit Tombstone when my wife and I got married. We went to Arizona for our honeymoon, and and we did Sedona, which was awesome. And we did Tombstone, but we never got up to New Mexico. So I did miss that bit. I would love to go, man. I would love to go.
Oh, it's fascinating. I would definitely recommend it.
I'd be curious. See, this is one of those things where I would definitely do the tour, but I'd be so curious to talk to locals. I would actually maybe be a little concerned to talk to locals too, because maybe they're FBI agents, like undercover, you know what I mean? like Men in all Black, plants, you know? Yep. Like, yeah, they're all plants. Like, no, everybody that lives there is just an FBI agent. But I'd be curious, like, if there's anything there, like, if they see anything weird, you know what I mean? Or if let's embrace this thing.
Yeah, like, I wonder if there's still stuff that happens there. He didn't really mention a lot about it. He said there's some areas nearby that they get a lot of UFO activity, but he didn't mention whether the town has a lot more stuff or they have, you know, Men in Black sightings or things like that. So I'd be curious as to whether that happens.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they still have to have some kind of activity. Because I think, isn't Area 51? No, there's still stuff there. But I think all the alien stuff's been moved somewhere else.
Well, I always thought Area 51 was just the testing for whatever new technology they've got.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's more, the Dulce base, I reckon, is more the UFO alien spot.
Yep. I'm curious because I'm sure you're familiar with like the Phoenix Lights thing, for example. And you know, that's not too far from New Mexico. And I'd be curious to know like how much of this ends up being related. You know, like the Navajo reservation is like bordering the two states too. And like I haven't looked at like Navajo mythology with aliens, but I'd be curious like if there's any of that going on there too.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
You know? I don't know, man.
There has to be. But that's like we said at the start. The government has – there is stuff they have to hide from the general public. They have to.
Well, all right. So don't you find it weird, though, that now the Navy's like, yeah, like we investigate aliens all the time?
Yeah, yeah. But there was something else going on around that time. I can't remember what it was. Something to do with the American government. And there was – I think it was around the Trump impeachment time, wasn't it?
Well, so I guess it started roughly at the same time, but at the end of 2018, the New York Times released the Nimitz footage.
Yeah.
And then, like, a few months after is, like, when, well, Trump was saying, like, yeah, maybe we look into aliens. And the Navy's like, oh, yeah, we look into aliens all the time. And they, like, changed some of their operating procedures to account for some of these things. You know, like, when stuff like that happens, you wonder, like, is this real or is this just like they're fucking with it?
Well, I just remember it coming out and then it was gone. Like, it got swept under, you know, it just disappeared from mainstream media. Not as in like they conspiratorially took it down, but I just remember there was something else going on at the same time. And it was like, hey, yeah, we investigate aliens. And then back to that other news. So it was sort of like they found the perfect time to put it out where it would disappear because something more, you know, something bigger was going on.
Well, yeah, we definitely had the impeachment thing. And then, well, actually, funny enough, right before Corona, you had the whole thing with the U.S. and Iran, and then that plane that got shot down, and all of a sudden we're on the quarantine. So, yeah, some of that stuff does seem weird. Yeah, I'm going to have to look up the series of events now. There had to be something else.
Yeah, there was something – I just remember it. There was something big going on because, you know, something like that would make news. You know, you think that would be – bigger. And I remember seeing one or two stories, but then all of a sudden it just disappeared because something else happened, which I think is the problem too with the 24-hour news cycle, because stuff like that gets buried because something is always happening.
Yep. Well, and so the problem is when they bury the thing, you get more conspiracy theories popping up.
Yes.
So then you don't know what to believe. And then like the places that follow the stuff like really latch onto it, right? So the people that are into it, like they get bombarded with this. I mean, I was seeing stuff on Nimitz like up to last month, and this is, you know, a year mm-hmm. and a half ago now.
Yeah.
But like the general public, nothing. Matter of fact, my wife is not into any of this stuff. She found the Nimitz stuff last summer, and I'm like, yeah, I told you that like a year ago. And she's like, wait, they saw aliens? I'm like, yeah, they fucking saw aliens, and nobody's talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, it was legit Navy footage, and nobody's talking about it.
I'm just picturing you yelling at your wife like that with a tinfoil hat on as well. No one's talking about it.
Let me tell you, my wife is a sweet, sweet angel for putting up with me. I tell her that the time.
Yep, I'm the same. I mean, my wife does like this, some of this sort of stuff, but there's some stuff I'll tell her about, and she'll just go, Why are you reading into that? Why are you looking at that? Like, it's interesting.
Dude, I had a very proud moment though. Probably about a month and a half or two ago, you said something about Trump and the government, like they're lying to us and blah blah blah. And I'm like, babe, I've been telling you this for 7 years. You know what I mean? Like, welcome aboard. I'm glad we're on the same page.
I'm picturing you like putting your arm around her and just going, I have some things to show you. Off we go.
Well, the thing is, like, my wife and I have very different personalities, right? And she's definitely the more practical of the two of us. And for her, like, if it doesn't affect her life right now, then it's not important, right? And like, mm-hmm. I guess to her, aliens, like there being legit Navy alien footage is like not that big a deal, right? Because like, aliens aren't coming landing in the backyard, you know what I mean? So like, whatever. But for me, where I'm like, I've been wanting to see this shit for my entire life.
Exactly.
And like, now it's here, right? It's not just some crazy crockpot with like a shaky cam, right? It's like multi-million dollar Navy equipment capturing a squadron of UFOs.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. Not that like, I mean, and it doesn't have to be aliens. I know one of the things that I mentioned to you when we were chatting a couple of days ago was, did you get a chance to look at these Navy patents?
Yes, I was actually looking over them this morning as well. Like, they're fascinating.
So you can actually go on the U.S. Patents Office website and look them up. Google has a really good patent search thing, so you can look them up there too. Just look up PAIS Navy patents, and you'll be directed right to it.
I've got it here. It's the US 101-445-32B2, a craft using an inertial mass reduction device.
Dude,
it is the first one that came up.
It is crazy. So there's like five or six different patents, all related to this one, all filed by this, what's his name? Dr. Salvatore Pais, I think is his name. Like, this guy is like a ghost. Like, he definitely exists, right? It's not like a Bob Lazar thing where like they erased him out of history. This is like a legit guy. He's got like six electrical engineering PhDs. There's like one picture in all of the internet of this guy. It's like a tiny thumbnail off of some like Chinese news website. But he's like a legit dude. And somebody just recently got in touch with him to verify that he existed, and he does. And of course, he couldn't talk anything about the work he does.
Of course.
But he did say that, yes, like he's the guy that filed these patents. And he did give this person like several other papers that he's written that are publicly available for viewing. But dude, the patents are crazy. I saw these things a couple months ago. I tweeted a picture of one of them, the one that looks like a spaceship, basically, the triangle one, the main patent. And there's several other ones related to this. Like one is like the power source for this thing, which generates these electrical fields that basically create like an antimatter engine. There's a couple other ones related that are basically like weapon systems, like electromagnetic anti-gravity cannons. And they all use the same technology. And they're all underwritten by the U.S. Navy on the patents. And they have like sole discretion to use these. Like nobody else is allowed. Like they can't even like let other branches of the military use these patents. It's like solely for Navy use, which is kind of interesting, right? Because now we have the Space Force. I'm sure you'll have an Australian Space Force soon. But
sign me up.
Yeah, we have the Space Force. I think the Space Force is part of the U.S. Air Force, not the Navy. So I find it curious that the Navy has these anti-gravity potentially ships, and the Air Force does not. But yeah, dude, those patents are crazy.
So do you reckon these things exist, or is it just a patent on the designs?
So from my understanding on this thing, and I recently, I don't know if you ever listened to Mysterious Universe.
Yeah, sometimes, yep.
Okay, and I think those guys are from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of Australian guys.
Yeah. So they used to have one of their researchers that worked for the podcast. He doesn't work there anymore. He went to work for some news organization. I can't remember. But he's been doing research on this stuff after the Nimitz incident. And it seems from the information that he's gathered, the way that the patent is written implies that they have at least one working system.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was written a certain way, like legally, it would just be like a theoretical device. But because of the way that the patent, the wording is done, they have a working device.
Okay.
Whether it works well or not, there's no telling, right? But they at least have a working device, which makes perfect sense to me. Like, I'm sure they have a whole fleet of these fuckers. You know what I mean? There was some guy that was talking about China has like some similar patents in their system.
Yep.
And part of the reason, this is of course where we get into the crazy conspiracy theory, but part of the reason why Trump was so adamant on the Space Force thing is China is way ahead on making these things real, and they have like literal destroyers in space using this technology. Okay, like straight out of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right. Whether that's true or not, whatever. But you know, I am not an electrical engineer. I did look at the patents. The science seems legit to me. Again, I'm not a scientist. I don't have an engineering degree. But from I love to dabble. And from my little understanding of things, it seems pretty legit. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my other interests is the electric universe. And I don't know if you ever looked into that. But it's basically plasma cosmology. Mm-hmm. I don't want to dive too deep into it, but basically there's like strings of plasma all across the universe. And the whole universe is electric. There's not like fusion going on or anything like that. It's all electricity and plasma. And if that's the case, some of the theories those guys are putting out seem to coincide with some of the stuff that I see in these patents.
Well, yeah, the electricity being all connected makes sense because you think about the human body and our brain is conducting electricity. And when we have to, you know, you think about doing CPR and putting a, I can't think what they're called.
The electrocardiogram?
I worked in the damn industry for 11 years. But they, you know, you shock the heart with an electric shock to get back into it.
Yep.
Back into rhythm and stuff like that. You know, a pacemaker is a perfect example. And, you know, so it makes sense that everything is connected by electricity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should, if you want to go into a rabbit hole, that's a good one too. The electric universe. Some of that stuff is really interesting. And I find it more interesting with stuff that relates to Earth. There's a YouTube channel called Vicious Observers. And he runs a couple of websites like what is it, like Quake Watch, Space Watch. He's got a few different ones too. Mm-hmm. That kind of take some of this plasma universe theory and places it with like stuff that would actually impact you, like looking at how electromagnetic fields impact earthquakes on Earth. Some of the stuff seems super legit. Again, I'm not an expert, but from what I've read, seems very legit. And we'll see. It's a very young field, this plasma cosmology thing. But it does simplify a lot of things, I'll be honest with you, just by getting rid of a lot of the intricacies and just making everything work because of plasma.
I'm taking – don't worry.
Yeah, you can do the Thunderbolts project. Matter of fact, the Thunderbolts project, I think, has the presentation that they did recently. There's a research group independent of all these guys that basically built a tiny sun in a lab. And so they're studying plasma cosmology that way, and they're able to replicate the exact behavior of the sun with this system that they've implemented. And it's basically just like cathode and anode working in a vacuum chamber with plasma. And you have like the, I don't know if you saw the recent pictures of the sun where it looks like it's made out of like corn kernels. Mm-hmm. Like they've been able to replicate that. They can replicate like sunbursts, and it's crazy. They basically built a mini sun in a lab.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So is that the Thunderbolts run by Baron Zemo or Norman Osborn?
That would be so cool. That would be so cool, man. That could go into different conspiracies because we could talk about Nazi crazy stuff.
Oh yeah, geez.
But we won't go there.
No, that's one of the things I don't like about listening to a lot of these conspiracy theories podcasts and things, is that so much of it ends up being,
yeah,
it tends towards racist,
yeah,
connotations. Like it's just, I can listen for a while and then I'm like, nah, I'm out on this one, and I'll skip to the next one. And there's one that I listen to on and off because it depends on the subject matter, but it's called The Higher Side Chats.
Yep. I listen to that.
Yeah. And I find some of his stuff is absolutely fascinating. And there was one about music I listened to ages ago that I can't find again, but it was talking about how the different, it was talking about sort of trance music and that sort of music, which I don't like listening to, but it was talking about how there's certain beats that could be made that could, you know, influence the way your body works and things, mm-hmm, like that, yep, which probably goes back into the acoustics we were talking about before.
Yep.
But then you get ones where, like, I love a good government conspiracy and, you know, things like that, but then some of them you listen to and I go, man, this is just racist.
Yeah.
This isn't even a conspiracy, you're just racist.
Well, you know, let me rephrase, not a lot, but you do see this often, where it's like a Zionist thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like the Jews have infiltrated, blah, 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 and like, yeah, whatever, man. Some of the stuff I don't like, you know what I mean?
No.
Man, I listened to one. Oh, God. So, you know, there's been the long-standing theory, and it's never been proven, that like Hitler was, right? Or his dad, I guess, maybe was Jewish. I mean, maybe, but there was this one guy talking about the Zionist movement and how it started in England and like tying to the Rothschilds because Hitler was a Rothschild and and the other. And I'm like, oh my God. And like, now you're really reaching, right? And yeah. And this goes back to a point we made earlier. Like, this is why we can't have nice things. You know what I mean? Because like, some of these things could be totally legit, and then you have idiots just like blaming it on Jews or like some other crazy shit that makes no sense. And then you're like, now none of this is real because you guys just ruined it.
Yeah, exactly. I was with you for the first 5 minutes of your argument.
Yeah.
But now we're 10 minutes in and you're telling me how, well, it's because the Jewish people run the media and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry, I'm out. You lost me.
Yep. And I think that's why no matter what happens, this never becomes like a mainstream thing, right? You know, going back to the Nimitz thing. If you didn't have guys out there saying, you know, like their wife is a Nordic alien, and Valiant Thor chilled at their house because he was bored. He came over for a barbecue. Like, until you get rid of these guys, like, nobody's going to believe this shit, right? Only people like us that, like, would love the possibility of it being true.
Yeah.
Will continue to believe, right? Because you still want to find – you know that at one point there's going to be somebody that, like, has that smoking gun, right? But you have to wade through a lot of bullshit to get there.
Well, I definitely believe, too, that there are, like, for lack of a better term, government agents who put that disinformation out there. Like, it might be someone who posts a – you know, just for an example, someone talks about how a UFO landed in their backyard and they, you know, and there's a burn pattern and then they disappeared. And then someone posts something about, yeah, the same thing landed in my backyard next door and I had sex with all the aliens. And that's like a government agent going, well, shit, that did land in his yard. How can I, oh, okay, well, yeah, he had sex with all the aliens too. And so it just, it goes that extreme where people just go, oh, this isn't real. This obviously isn't real.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure there's disinformation agents. And then there's just idiots, you know what I mean?
Mm.
There's plenty of idiots, plenty of people that just want attention because they're lonely. What's the one with the teleporting Navy ship? The Manhattan Project. No, not the Manhattan Project. Yeah. It was the Manhattan, right?
Yeah, it was Manhattan. Yeah, Manhattan Project. They supposedly found people fused to walls and things like that.
Yeah, fused to walls and stuff, yeah. You know the origin story of that? Like, the dude that called that in was like a severe, like, schizophrenic. And literally made everything up. But people liked the story, and they latched onto it and tried to legitimize it a little.
Yeah, of course.
There's always that kind of thing.
Well, there was one that there's a Melbourne-based UFO landing called the Westall UFO sighting. So this is one, it was in the 60s, I think, 60s or 70s. My wife actually taught at the school at one point where this happened. So it happened right near a school. And we watched a documentary on it recently. And my wife grew up 20 minutes from where it happened. We went and had a look at the park. And a UFO landed near a school. And all these, and you know, 200 kids witnessed it.
Oh, I just heard about this. Yes.
Yeah.
And dude, like, they witnessed exactly what happened. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We went to visit it. We've been to where the park is. And the park has UFO things. But it's, these people talked about it. And the girl who ran over, there's a girl who ran over and collapsed. And then she was taken away in an ambulance. She went to the school, and they never saw her again.
What?
And, you know, these people are talking about how, yeah, we witnessed it, and even the teacher's going, yeah, yeah, we saw it, you know. And the teacher took photos, and an army sergeant took his camera away and stuff. Like, it's just amazing. The documentary is really good up until a point, and then the guy starts talking about himself. Like, that's the thing that always kills me. Documentarians who start going, you know, they do this fascinating story, and then it's like, oh, yeah, and then I had a kid, and I want my kid to know about all this stuff. It's like, man, I don't care. Tell me the story.
Yeah, that story is interesting. There's there was another one, like, almost exactly the same. Maybe two other ones, actually, in Africa. I think one in Nigeria, and I can't remember the other one. Where it's, like, basically the same thing. Like, the spaceship lands, and, like, they're in recess in, like, a yard at a school. And, like, all the teachers see it, like, all the students see it, like, the aliens come out for, like, a minute, and then they get back in the ship and just fly off. And, like, everybody's got the same story. This happened, like, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Everyone's got the same story. They all remember exactly the same thing. And, like, it's not a popular story because it's, in some, you know, backyard town in Africa somewhere.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
Well, this is – Westall was 1989. I thought it was a lot – longer ago, but it was 89, so that's why the documentary came out, because it was 30 years since it had happened. And so, like, that to me, like, I go, like, I was 7 years old in 1989.
Yeah,
so it's not one of these Roswell happened in the 40s or 50s. This is 30 years ago, you know. Like, it's just baffling. It's so fascinating.
Aliens are real.
Aliens,
I'm telling you. Yeah, they're everywhere. Come get me.
Yeah, come on, I want to hang out too. Come on.
Dude, I used to lay in bed at night sometimes when I was very young, like 7 or 8, and I'd just be like, aliens, please just come get me. and it's not like I had a great childhood, you know what I mean? Like, my parents are extremely loving. Like, I didn't have any problems. I just wanted the aliens so bad to come visit me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'd love to. It'd be great.
Maybe one day. I did have, like, a sighting, I will say. I don't know. That's my guess. This was, man, I wish I remembered. Nick would probably know, because I talked a little bit about this on the podcast. But I was at work. I went outside, and it was like dusk, getting dark out. And I look up, and I saw this really bright light off in the distance. I thought nothing of it, because it was, like, roughly in the direction of Venus. And again, I'm a star watcher, so, like, I pay attention to these. I thought nothing about it. The next thing I know, I look back a few minutes later, and now there's, like, three lights. It's forming a triangular shape. And I just, like, I stared at it. I took a picture of it. And this is when I realized, you know how everyone's always like, why'd you only take, like, one picture? Or, like, why don't you get a better camera? Or, like, take a video of it. And, like, here I was in this thing, a guy that's been wanting to see something like this my entire life. And, like, I didn't think about any of those things. Like, I just thought about the picture just so I can send it to my wife and be like, see, aliens. but, like, that's the only thing. Like, I didn't think about video or, like, going to find a better camera or anything like that. Just, like, my shitty phone camera. And but, yeah, so I saw these three lights forming this triangle. And then after a few minutes, like, they started going up at the same time. And then one broke off and was going up at a different speed. And then the other one, the one on the right broke off going up a different speed. Those two disappear. The only the center one is left. And then it starts going up and disappear. And that was the whole thing.
Wow.
That was the whole thing. But it was so weird, dude. And again, I'm a star watcher. I can tell the difference between like a planet and a star and something else. And could it have been like military craft? Possibly.
Yeah.
Right? Could it committed like commercial craft? Possibly. But like it just seems weird that you would have like the shape form and then just like the method of these things flying off just didn't seem quite right to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's
I don't know, man. Could be. I hope so. I think about it all the time, and I just say maybe. You know what I mean? I don't know.
By the definition of UFO, you saw a UFO.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Like, even if it was military aircraft or something else, you didn't identify what it was, so, and it was flying and it was an object, so there you go.
Yes, we did it.
There you go. Yeah.
But I was hoping there were little gray aliens. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Did I wave? No, but I stared very intently.
And they're probably waving at you going, why won't you wave back?
Yeah, why won't you wave back? And I'm like, just come down here and see me. I'm in a parking lot.
Yeah, man, we're going to get a beer.
Oh, man. All right, I only have one more thing for you. And then we have to take this quiz because Nick worked very hard on this. Tom DeLonge. You think he's full of shit?
I think he was very good in Blink-182.
I love Blink-182.
I do love the idea that someone with a lot of money is investing in this. I do love that. But the – like I listened to the Joe Rogan with him on it.
Not a good interview.
No. it's – there's, you know, the UFO lover in me loves the idea of him doing this and putting the money into it. The conspiracy theorist in me – thinks has he been put out there to make a joke of it all?
Yep.
And then there's just a part of me that just goes, oh, well, maybe if he finds something, we'll all benefit from it.
Yep. So my thing is, if it was just Tom DeLonge, which I know he's always loved aliens, right? Like he's one of their second album has a song. What's it called? I think it's just called Aliens or something. Something about like aliens watching you in the backyard, basically. Like, this guy's always been into aliens, so I admire that. And the fact that he would put his money into this kind of thing is great. Where I run into problems is everybody around him, right? Because there's, like, maybe ex-military guys, right? Like, the ATIP guy that the Navy says doesn't exist. The Navy said ATIP never existed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be full of shit, but maybe. But then he's got, like, legit ex-military guys, right? Like, generals. And like guys that work for the CIA and the FBI, and that raises red flags to me.
Yeah, me too.
If these guys were involved in these kind of projects, like the government's following them the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So they're not going to let them just be like, hey, yeah, just divulge on the information you want now, guys. Like that's not going to happen.
Just tell some random celebrity exactly what happened. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So that's a red flag. And then also the fact that like they have an entertainment arm where they're doing like documentaries and like History Channel TV shows.
Yep.
It also seems like a red flag.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is a disinformation campaign, to be honest.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. That Tom DeLonge. I'm disappointed, Tom.
Go back to music.
Go back to music. Angels and Arrows is pretty good, I guess. All right. Let's do this quiz. I told Nick, listen, I'm going to have Andrew on. We're going to talk aliens because you refuse to talk aliens with me. That's not true. He lets me talk about aliens, but I don't think Nick believes. So,
Nick.
He crafted this quiz for us, and I'm not sure he quite understood what kind of aliens we were talking about. But let's find out on this quiz from Nick. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
What imagined future technology is the 1986 Aliens film missing?
Hang on. What imagined technology?
What imagined future technology is the 1986 Aliens film missing? I mean, I think the obvious answer is teleporter.
Yeah, I would say teleporters too, yeah.
They have some great tech in that film.
Yeah, we're already in space and they're already, you know, the quarantine and the life support systems. So, yeah, it's teleport.
You know, do they ever explain how their, like, engine system works? Because they have to be going FTL, right?
Yeah, but I'd rather they didn't in a way too, because that's when you get into, well, that's just, you know, they over-explain things and then it just becomes dumb.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm sure sometimes I think about it, like, to try to figure out the timeline of the movies. Because, mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of time jumps that don't get explained, right? Like, yeah. Between Alien and Aliens, it's, like, 86 years. And they just, like, briefly mention it, right? When she gets brought out of cryo, they're like, oh, yeah, I want to talk. She's like, I want to talk to my daughter. And they're like, oh, your daughter's been dead for, like, 50 years. Because it's been 86 years. All right. Teleporters, Nick. Number two. What is the most outdated part of the 1986 Aliens film? Mine is the Paul Reiser character, Burke. He saw his turn a mile away. Yeah. Paul Reiser. God, that guy sucks in that movie, man.
Yeah.
I hate that guy. And he always pops his collar. You know, I wonder if Paul Reiser created the pop a collar thing.
And Usher just stole it.
Most outdated part. I'm going to tell you. So, the Alien franchise is one of my favorite film franchises of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the movies, even the terrible ones like Resurrection. I love all of them. The first two, I think, are just perfection.
Oh, yeah. They're masterpieces.
The first two are perfection. Most outdated part? The fashion, man.
The haircuts.
Yeah, the haircuts. They're in the far future with crazy tech, and they still have, like, early 80s fashion. Horrible.
But don't they still use bullets as well?
They do use, like, bullets.
Yeah, so I reckon that would be it, too. Like, I would think if you're into that sort of, you'd be using some kind of plasma rifle or something by then.
Or, like, what are those rail guns that shoot, like, it's just called a rail gun, right?
Yeah.
It's, yep. Like, the magnet that pushes the bullet out?
Yeah, come on, man. We need lasers by that point.
Yeah, you need something cool, man.
Yeah.
You need a shrink ray or something. That's what it needs.
Yeah. Yes.
Who's your favorite James Cameron heroine? Helen Tasker, True Lies, Jamie Lee Curtis. Sarah Connor, T2, Linda Hamilton. Ripley, Alien Sigourney Weaver. That's hard.
I will go with Sarah Connor in T2, but I also, and this is my opinion, I would have loved it if they'd left just the Terminator. Like, T2 was a great film, but yeah. The Terminator is a perfect movie.
Perfect movie. Yeah. Yep. You know, T2 is actually one of the movies I have seen the most in life.
I think everyone sort of our age has.
You're probably right. So, all right, what are your top three most watched movies?
Oh, me, of all time?
Of all time.
Toxic Avenger, number one.
Hell yeah.
I love it. It is my favorite movie of all time. As much as if you watch it now and there's a lot of it that's problematic, but that goes for a lot of trauma films.
Yes.
So it would be Toxic Avenger, Goodfellas.
Oh, wow.
And probably Friday the 13th, Part 7.
Which one's 7?
7 is the one where Jason fights the girl with psychic powers.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Because that one I saw very late night TV here in Melbourne one night, and it was probably the first Friday the 13th movie I'd ever seen.
Huh.
And it's the first Kane Hodder as Jason, so it's just, I love it. It's one of the most fun ones.
All right, so I will tell you, this has recently changed.
Mm-hmm.
So my most watched movie is actually E2, Judgment Day.
Yep, I can say that, yep.
Number two used to be The Little Mermaid.
Yep.
Fortunately, my kids grew out of it.
I was only counting movies I watched by choice.
So my number two is Fight Club, and yep. My number three most watched is the original Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I love that one. Yeah.
Dawn or Day? Hang on. No,
Dawn.
Day of the Dead.
The one at the mall.
Yeah.
Both the original and the remake are fantastic.
Yeah, probably the last good film that Snyder made.
Yes. And it's got the guy from Modern Family playing a total douchebag, so that's fine.
Yeah.
What is your favorite alien comic story? Is this capitalized? It is capitalized.
Oh, I don't think I've read many alien, like James Cameron, that sort of alien movie, comics.
So I have read the Alien Omnibus twice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of like any that immediately jump off at me. I can think of some of like the Predator ones that jump off at me, but not so much the Aliens one.
Yeah, like Predator versus Batman and things like that.
Yeah, well, the one I really like is when the Predator takes that girl under his wing and mm-hmm. they train the girl to be a Predator.
Especially human. Yeah.
Like that story is freaking awesome. There was recently an alien movie made, or an alien comic made. I always get the writer wrong. So when they were gearing up to do a sequel to Alien, they contracted out a few people to write a script. The winning script is actually obviously the one that became the film, but they had what's the guy's name? Hang on, not the name. I want to say it was William Gibson,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's Gibson. I think it's the other guy that I really like. Anyways, we'll say it's William Gibson. He wrote a script for it that never got made into the film, but they recently turned that into a comic book, and it is awesome.
Okay.
I would say in some respects it is better than the Aliens sequel that we got, because it actually follows chronologically the events at the end of the first movie.
Yeah, okay.
So a lot of the stuff you're like, well, what's going on right now? It gets answered in his story because he puts it in continuity. I'm pretty sure it is William Gibson. But anyways, I think Dark Horse put that out. Alien franchise has been in quite a few comic crossovers and versus series. What is your favorite crossover or versus story you would like to see that hasn't been done yet? Oh, wow. I thought he was going to ask about my favorite crossover. Which is Stormwatch versus Wildcats, because Stormwatch is not in it. Or Stormwatch versus Aliens, because Stormwatch is not in it. It's a Wildcat story. and actually, funny story. So this is the reason why it's my favorite. Not because of that. When Warren Ellis took over Stormwatch, he did not like any of the characters and wanted to kill them off and create his own team. They would not let him. Somehow this it was Wildcats. Wildcats Alien. Somehow this Wildcat Aliens crossover was devised, and Warren Ellis thought it was the perfect time to kill off Stormwatch, so he barely wrote the Wildcats in it. They show up in like one page.
Yeah.
Basically the Xenomorphs invade the weather station, which is the station in space that Stormwatch uses. Face. The Xenomorphs invade the weather station and murder all of Stormwatch except like one person. And so after that, they had no choice but to let him create his own team. And this is where we get like the Authority and Planetary and all that stuff coming out of that.
Yeah.
So that's why that's my favorite. One that I would like to see. I don't know, man. I was trying to think of like something offbeat. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, maybe like a something like Fantastic Four would be pretty cool.
Mm.
But, yeah, it just depends on, like, the problem with crossovers, especially if you're doing intercompany crossovers, is you can't make any big changes.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd rather just see them, you know, Alien versus Predator is fine, or Alien versus Terminator, or, you know, stuff like that. Like, just use the franchises that, yeah, if it's going to be, I think Dark Horse has the license still, so
yep.
Just use the properties you already have.
Here I go.
Aliens versus Hellboy, maybe.
I got one. Aliens versus Conan.
Ooh, yeah. That would be good. Back in the Hiberian Age.
Yeah, back in the Hiberian Age. Conan gets lost in the jungle, runs upon this tribe of natives that worship the Xenomorphs, and all shit goes downhill from there.
Trademark it now, just in case you want to run.
Actually, I think that's part of the plot of that kind of awful Aliens versus Predator movie. The first one.
Yeah, probably. Yep.
Because I think the Maya worshipped the Xenomorphs in that movie.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
Oh man. Anyways, that was fun. Thank you, Nick, for the quiz. It was fun.
was good.
Nick loves playing games for some reason. I think it's because I don't let him like take any show notes or prepare anything ahead of time. And like, yep. This is the one thing that he can prepare and sneak in on me.
The man needs structure.
The man needs some structure, which is fine. Whatever works for you.
That's it.
Let's wrap it up, dude. You're a treat. Yeah, yeah. We should talk aliens more often, dude.
Of course. I'm always up to talk aliens and conspiracies and anything like that.
All right, what we should do is we should actually do a little plan. We'll do a little planning on a basic overview of something, and we'll reconvene in a few weeks.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Especially while everyone's locked up and not doing anything. Yeah,
right? Might as well.
Yeah.
And of course, Andrew wrote my favorite comic of 2018.
Oh, you're too kind.
It is. I loved it. And I try to tell everyone I love it and they should get it and they don't fucking listen. So they're all dead to me. So if you have not read Cul-de-sac yet, do yourself a favor. You don't need to get – I mean, I would love it if you got a physical copy from Andrew.
I have plenty of them left.
He's got plenty of them. He can't go anywhere to sell them because he's quarantined.
That's it.
So do something. Get you a copy, goddammit. It is a fantastic horror anthology book. Beautiful artwork. I can't wait for you guys to do the second one. I hope that's going well.
Yeah, it is. It's. I've written a few of the stories, and Will is – because Will's a teacher, so he's been quarantined, but he also has to teach from home as well. Right. So he's working on it, and you know, you can't rush beautiful art like that.
Dude, Will is a fucking genius, dude. Here's the thing about Will. Will's art style is perfect for the story that you're telling.
Yeah.
It's like reading old school like EC comics, you know? It's got that vibe to it, except like beautiful. It's like modern artwork. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, and he hand paints it all. Like all of it was hand painted. Like I have a page of the book, the original art, and it's all hand painted. It's not digital. There's nothing digital about it. This is legitimately hand painted, and it's why it takes him so long, because it's layered, and he needs to wait for layers to dry and things like that. Like it's so perfect.
It is perfect. So if you don't want to get a physical copy, shame on you. But you can go to Comixology. Well, the thing is, you know, it's not cheap to ship from Australia.
No, it's not.
So you can't go on Comixology. Andrew will only make peanuts out of that. That's why I'm saying you guys should just buy the physical copy. But but support the book, because I'm still saying this 2 years later. It was my favorite book of 2018. Goddammit. And I read a lot of comics, dude. I read like thousands of comics, and I love the shit out of it. I read it like 3 times back to back.
I do really appreciate it. We are very proud of how the book came out. So, like, and people like yourself who really pushed the book, you know, we absolutely love you guys for it.
Well, thank you. I hope people will listen. If not, I'm gonna sick the aliens on them.
That's it. When we get our alien technology, they can't have any.
If you don't buy this book, you're gonna be on the next Missing 411 documentary. Okay, that's what's gonna happen. Missing 411, the people that didn't read Cul-de-sac.
That's it.
I need to get in touch with Pilates and give him that title. I will not trademark it. But no, you can go on Comixology and get it. You have it like super cheap on there too, right? What is it?
Yeah, $3.99 for 62 pages.
What is wrong with you people? Go get this thing. God damn it. Always a pleasure, dude. I love chatting with you.
Yeah, you too, man.
I love Australia. It's my second favorite country.
Behind
not the U.S.
once all this quarantine stuff's done and we can travel again, come visit.
Yeah, dude, I need to. I have well, my godparents live in Australia. So.
Aha. Well, you come and I'll take you to Westall.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. I need to get their address. I know they're in Sydney. I don't know where. But we'll figure that out. Anyways, find Andrew. You're Andrew_Shaw23. And you can find me at GeekVine. Nick will be back on the next one. He's at Nick Wetmore, and that's it. Just find us. And if you want us to hear talk about aliens some more, then let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
Until next one, beam me up.